Pop on this sunny Monday. Hey, everybody.
Is it a ring pop?
Oh, yeah.
Busted.
You buy them in bulk, Double T?
Fuck yeah. Oh,
yeah, buddy. You know that at the BJ's.
Oh, yeah.
Unacceptable.
Ring pops at the BJ's.
And your favorite movie, your favorite movie, Predator?
Yeah, the little luchador bottle opener.
Is that what that is? I thought it was Gumby.
I was like, Gumby, look at his face.
Who was what was Gumby's horse's name?
Pokey.
Pokey.
There it is.
Trying to there think were two about other that ones, at work too. Today.
There were two other ones in there, too. There's like a yellow dinosaur and some blue creature.
All right, but I was specifically talking about the horse.
Correct. Yeah. The horse is Pokey.
Pokey the horse.
Pokey and Pickle?
Oh,
Pickle
yeah.
the dinosaur?
Gumby's friends.
One was like a yellow dinosaur type thing, and the blue one was like a blue, like, wave with yellow hair creature.
Gumby, Pokey, Prickle, and Goo.
Goo, yeah, goo. Yeah, goo. Yeah, goo.
Even Brendan said it. Goo was the blue one.
Oh, yeah?
And then he had the Blockheads, J and G.
Yep.
Gumby's parents. Gumby's, they were just called the Blockheads.
They were the mean characters on the show.
Yeah, wait, yeah. Gumby's... Gumby had a last name?
No.
Was he Gumby Blockhead?
No, there were two Blockhead characters.
Bad guys.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then his parents were Gumbo and Gumba.
Of course they were.
His little sister was Minga.
Tony, you want to cue the WWF Japanese music?
Gumby's scientific go-to guy was Professor Cap.
Okay.
Denali was his mastodon pal.
Thank you!
Gumby's dog was named Nopey. the helpful bee was Groovy.
Of course.
And his girlfriend, he had a girlfriend in the Gumby movie. Her name was Tara. What a fucking... Fucking unoriginal asshole.
Grumba, Goo, Blockheads.
Now, did Tara look like a Gumby, or was there some interracial claymation things going on?
No, she looked like a Gumba.
No, she was just blue. She was a blue Gumby with a dress on and a yellow tee on her chest.
Were her parents blue, too?
There's no pictures of her parents.
No, because I'm interested.
Does she have hair?
Yes, she has black hair.
Black hair. Okay. I don't know why I thought it was orange.
I'm still confused about this dress situation. Gumby didn't wear clothes.
No.
No, Tara did.
Tara had, like, a dress-like thing.
Gotcha.
So was this, like, interracial Gumby-like relations? Was this, like, a Spike Lee joint?
Progressive Gumby.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I don't know. He's green. She's blue. The Blockheads are orange. His parents are orange, though. Or no, his dad is orange.
Pokey's orange.
And his mom is green.
Ooh, a lot of interracial shit going on in the world of Gumby.
I like that. I'm a Gumby guy.
Fuck
yeah,
dude.
Way ahead of their time, that Gumby.
His dad has black hair and mom has blonde hair, but Gumby doesn't have any hair.
I bet you Minga was transitioning at some point, too.
Minga?
Probably.
Ooh, Minga.
Ooh, Minga.
You Minga.
Manga.
Little sister Minga.
Minga lost a match, so Gumby had to shave his head.
The only clip on GumbyWorld.com of Little Sis Minga is Minga in Wild Horses, and I am not clicking that.
You gotta click it.
Are you sure this is some Gumby fan fiction you're reading?
Yeah. GumbyWorld.com. Little Sis Minga. Minga, Gumby's little Gumby sister World in the late 80s, is pure clay just like Gumby. She's pink through and through.
Of course she is. They're all pink on the inside.
Christ. She gets into her fair share of trouble. She takes off on a flying carpet and disappears in one episode.
Oh, she's dating an Arab Gumby.
She gets stuck in an abandoned mine shaft in another. Gumby rescues her often, and Minga ensures her older brother doesn't get too bossy or overconfident. They have a very common brother-sister bond, much like David and Sally in the Davy and Goliath series.
Hello, Davy.
Jesus Christ.
Handsome Kevin, you familiar with the Davy tape?
I don't know the Davy tape.
Oh,
How did we get to Gumby?
Of course, we always do.
We'll get there.
We got there.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait. What is it? Gumby and Tara made goo?
Well, maybe Gumby made goo thanks to Tara.
Brenda, yeah.
What does Gumby goo look like? You think it's green?
It's got to be green.
Oh, this is a great question. So this happened last weekend. The guys were watching the Mania. If you could goo in any color, what color would you goo?
Oh my God, this is
probably
like
green,
like
a Ghostbusters kind of thing, right?
You go green, like an ectoplasm.
Of course, everybody's going green these days. HK, right.
I got gotcha. You.
I think I'd go Carolina blue.
Carolina blue, that's a good call.
Ooh. What about brown? Make it look like you just shit on somebody.
I don't know if that's the way to go.
With the old Vinnie Mac.
The old Vin Burger.
Oh yeah.
What are you
Vincent
doing?
Van Goo.
Drop my phone.
Look at it.
This was like last night. I haven't played Fortnite all week. I finally get on to talk to these guys. I'm trying to talk to Tony and Vince, and Tony's dumb kids in the background going, "Would you rather have a hairy asshole or a hairy pee hole? Would you rather have a hairy back or a hairy feet on the bottom? Would you?" And I'm like, "What the fuck is going on over there?"
Fortnite is magical.
That's what I said. Now, here's the thing, right? Because when you're look, as a married man, three of the four wizards married, when we're gooing, we're usually gooing on the inside, right? So we're not seeing the color goo.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Right? Yeah, so does it matter what color it is?
I'd like to have it glow in the dark then.
So now your wife is, what's your wife, fucking transparent? You can see inside of her?
Yeah, like maybe, you know, like a jack-o'-lantern, like a little glowing in the middle, you know? Especially if you haven't pulled the trigger in a while, you know, you get a little extra.
What kind of weird stuff goes on in your house?
Well, then she can find her way to the bathroom when she's done, you know? She don't have to turn the lights on. I'm just saying.
She's like E.T., basically.
The fucking toilet bowl looks like the urn from Wrestler from SummerSlam. What was it? Paul Bearer's got the light everywhere.
Yeah, and all this green smoke just starts...
Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy is right.
Boy, Alberta.
Oh, let me retweet this.
What? What are you retweeting?
The episode.
I thought you were asking the internet what color.
Put in the Discord. I'm sure we'll get some responses.
The Discord's fantastic.
We have a Discord, by the way, folks.
Just for the record, Tony wants X-ray goo. Basically, so you can see it.
Yeah, like glow in the dark, like when you get one of them fucking like the sticks, like you crack it open, you go to the raves, you spin them around.
Like you want stuff that like you want the dye for when you like you get in like the MRI machine, like you want that dye to like be there. That's what you want your.
No, I don't want my wife to get cancer, God forbid. I just want
it's the dye that they do so they can find out what's wrong with you. They inject you with
Listen,
serum.
If you want to find out what's wrong with me, you need a lot of that dye, sir.
Tie-dye.
A whole lot of that dye.
Tony wants to shoot goo, nuclear fucking green, so he could see
fucking
his wife.
Brundin. Someone's going to be queefing fireflies.
Oh, Jesus. Hey,
Captain Howdy's coming. Maybe Alexa Bliss got a new gimmick.
Oh, jeez. The pitcher?
The ping pong ball trick.
Did she get a cucumber at WrestleCon?
I feel bad. I missed out. I didn't get one.
Oh, we didn't go. We missed out.
Queefing fire.
We missed out on a golden opportunity to celebrate WrestleMania.
Celebrate.
Queefing fireflies.
Wait, who's celibate?
That's Double T. He's celebrating.
Isolate that, Eric Freed, you fucking freak.
Well, we got a lot of wrestling we're going to talk about tonight. We finally saw the fight footage from Jungle Man and Phillip.
Jungle Man.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Will Ospreay situation, which we'll get into in a little bit. Because I missed the Triple H part. I missed the first shot that was fired, so we're going to talk about that. Raw after WrestleMania was some exciting news. Tony's very excited. Sheamus is coming back.
Fella.
I was going to say that. You stole my thunder. That's okay. SmackDown was exciting. Tama Tonga, part of the Bloodline. What are we doing there? We got two pay-per-views to pick this weekend.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Impact Rebellion and AEW Dynasty.
What?
Oh, yeah. What? Saturday and Sunday. What do you mean, what?
What?
Oh, very
what
gassy,
is wrong with you?
I'm very gassy. I crushed an order. I've had it. Dude, I've had it like... I've had a rough couple weeks, so just let me enjoy my orchards before the show starts.
Well, you look good.
No, thanks. Thanks. I've played with the hat a little more to make sure the sides of my hair don't stick out, so I don't look like a complete lunatic. And the gloves kind of serve as like a little like koozie. They don't. My hands don't get cold.
Look at that, sexy and practical.
But they'll still turn my hands red, so I'll probably take them off in a little bit.
Did you wash them?
Yeah, I've washed all this fucking every Monday when I'm done. I put all this goofy shit in the laundry, and then Monday night I left all the earrings on my vanity, and my wife came home. She's like, "What the fuck is this?" And I'm like, "It's a fucking plastic thing of fake earrings for this stupid gimmick."
Clearly, you're not a bowler.
So, there's Dark Side of the Ring, Chris Colt. We'll talk about that because I think that was the best one thus far this year. And we're going to have some laughs. Maybe we might cry. Who knows? But it's all next here. Episode 685 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
This is Bad Luck Fale, and you are listening to the Shining Wizard Podcast.
Like Elizabeth proving her worth at SummerSlam, we are proving our worth every Monday night. Welcome, everyone, to episode 685 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Coming to you live on social media, going with you wherever you go on every streaming and podcasting platform. We are here to talk some wrestling and talk some wrestling. And I fucked up my line and I don't know where I'm going now after that great intro. So let's get into some wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling.
Around the horn, Tony.
HP double T.
Handsome Kevin.
KJG.
God damn it. I had a great line about Elizabeth and then I got lost.
Well, like she does, you know,
while she's out there, just in general.
What?
Yeah. I said like is when she's out there, just in general.
Handsome it's Kevin. Magic. Now, I'm gonna give you some fucking context. Slap dick.
Hey, thanks, double T.
All right, handsome Kevin's up there. He's doing the year of pod with Duke Bags. They're doing WWF 1988 from WrestleMania 4 to 5 and Survivor Series 88 dropped today. Handsome Kevin, I'm gonna say it. You look like a dildo. You complain that she doesn't do anything. She took the keys and she freed the holster.
She walked over and put.
That's doing something. Out. That's doing something.
She ain't shit. She doesn't do a fucking thing. She walked. She looked uncomfortable walking.
You would too if you had to wear those fucking high heels.
You don't know what I wear in my fucking my private life.
I know you're not wearing any socks right now.
Here you go.
Send all your feet pictures to at Kevin Grief on Twitter.
Ah, gotcha. At old Feedy G, Kevin Grief.
Feedy G.
Shut up.
BDG, holy shit.
Not that funny. Oh, no.
Putting on my footy garifos.
That doesn't even make sense, but it's funny.
I said it in my head like three times. I was like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. Why pull the trigger? And I went, nope, it's too good. I'm fucking pulling the trigger. But not right, my
no. Right brain definitely won on that one against left brain. You're like, no. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Do it.
No. No. No.
Oh my God. It's fucking fantastic.
What is that?
It's the cops.
Yeah, they're coming here to arrest you.
Where?
It's outside my window.
The mean streets of North Arlington.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Schnockered.
Oh, crime's over.
Yeah, they must have moved on.
Crime time. So, yeah, the latest episode of Year of Duke and Rogue dropped today. And, you know, there's that there. I do want to ask this question to you guys. And this pertains to Survivor Series 1988 and the WWF of that era. Bad News Brown. Fantastic, right? I don't know what's going on outside my window now. But he's got a track record. At this point, would you even want him on your fucking team if you know he's just going to walk out on you?
88 was the first time he does it, though.
But he double-crosses Brett at WrestleMania 4 in the Battle Royal.
Yep. Well, but it's a Battle Royal.
He's not a team player, though. They team up to get rid of all the good guys, and he shanghais them.
At the end of the day, it's every man for himself.
He's a rotten son of a bitch. He can't be trusted.
So if I can get like three eliminations out of him, I'll take him on my team knowing he's still going to walk away. If I get no eliminations out of him and he's just going to walk out, I don't need him out there.
That's a great point.
Yeah. That's what he does. He just walks away. He doesn't care.
I know. You're right.
He did it in 89 too.
Mm-hmm.
But can you blame him for walking out? Both times he walked out, he got hit by one of his teammates.
Yeah, but it was an accident.
Yeah, but he don't know that.
He doesn't give anyone time to explain it to them.
He doesn't. It's awesome.
No, they try, but then the other teammates come in and break it up, and then he's had enough by then. Like this shit.
He just doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear it because he's stubborn.
Well, it's bad news.
Yeah, clearly. Hansel Kevin, did you ever figure out the name of that women's tag team, or are you just going to stick with the Golden Girls?
No, fucking Duke stuck with the Golden Girls. Isn't it the Glamour Girls?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And fucking Duke was just, he was convinced it was the Golden Girls.
Nah,
then we got into a discussion about banging Bea Arthur or something. I don't forget who it was.
No, I thought he didn't want to bang Betty White because she was demure and, you know.
Oh, Betty White, that's right. That was the line.
I mean, who wouldn't give a throw to Rue McClanahan? Come on.
That's the line was.
Is that Blanche?
Yes.
Seems so nice and caring, and who doesn't want to fuck somebody like that? That was the lie. That was a good episode. It was fun.
You'd have to put up with a few stories about St. Olaf, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll take it.
To play. Play. Oh, yeah. Pay. Jesus.
Yeah, both.
Well, got to pay to play.
Exactly. He's a prostitute.
Can you guys hear that? Do I have to close my window?
No, you're good.
I don't hear it.
The hell's going on? Are they building a high rise behind you?
I don't know what's going on over there.
All right.
Never home. So how you guys doing?
Great.
Grand.
Yeah, fantasticals.
Wow. Love it. Fucking cleaned up. Clear the board. We're good to go.
How are you, Double T? How are you?
You know, getting by. Surviving.
No. You said you've had a rough past couple of weeks. Let's go. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really want to talk about it here.
Well, then why would you bring it up, you dick stain?
Yeah.
So you brought it up.
It's a little harsh.
I'll tell you after the show. How's that sound?
All right, Dick Stain.
But now the people want to know, Dick Stain.
Well, you know what? The people can just fucking suck it up, Buttercup. All right? Also, Tony mentioned we have a Discord, and it's a great, great place to go and hang out and talk. Guys, if we don't agree with something you say, like during the show or like... It doesn't mean we hate you. I don't know where that like misnomer came from. We're just having fun here. Nobody hates anybody.
I hate Liz.
So like, besides, well, you know, we can't.
She's in the Discord.
She's not, unless Zombie Liz is there. But, like, we're having fun, guys. We're having fun. So, fucking just be along for the ride. We can have a conversation and not agree with you when you're in the chat or in the Discord, and it doesn't mean we don't like you.
Accurate. Unless you're Brundon.
I don't know what's
going on.
Fucking
parade going on outside your window?
I don't know.
Sound like some
I really don't want to close the window. It's so nice.
Don't.
It's a nice day.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Your neighbors are murdering each other. It's great.
Let them. Fuck it. I got the camera in the backyard. I'll get the notification if I need to worry about something.
Someone's at the door.
So I just wanted to put that out there.
Boy, were there rough things in the Discord? People getting
sad? No. No, there was rough things when we were talking about WrestleMania last week, where people in the Discord thought because we disagreed with them that we hated them. That is not true.
Well, I mean, who are we talking about? I'll let you know.
That's why I said Brundon. I don't
know. Well, we all fucking hate Brundon. Isolate that, Eric Fried, you fucking freak.
Yeah.
I thought Scott George does the isolation.
No. No, Scott George is in isolation.
This is what we do. We have a few laughs, you know?
That's it. We're just having fun, guys. We love the interaction. So keep it coming. Agree with us, disagree with us, and we're going to start off with the hottest topic of the week. I know everybody watched Dynamite Wednesday night. Well, not everybody. Only about 800,000 people.
Tony, were you one of them?
I was actually one of the however many watched the footage, and I kind of wish I would have got those 3 minutes back.
It's it was so just humor us if you're not familiar with what's going on. Here's the timeline. WrestleMania, the week before the WrestleMania week, Monday. CM Punk sits down with Ariel Helwani. He does an interview. He talks about the punching, the Jack Perry fight, whatever. Tuesday, or late Monday night, Tony Khan does budget cuts. He gets rid of a couple people. Friday, Triple H goes on Pat McAfee, and he talks about if you don't want to do the grind, I'll pull up the specific quote when we get to that part of the conversation. But if you don't want to do the grind, or you're not willing to put the time in and grind, then maybe you shouldn't come to WWE. And WrestleMania happens night one. Then before night two, they say on Collision they're going to release the footage from the fight in London on Dynamite Wednesday night. And, you know, during Mania, there was a couple, you know, I think Michael Cole said it. Here's CM Punk. He takes all the headlines during WrestleMania week or something there. They were having fun with it. The WWE was. Tony Khan says, like, he paid, like, a wrestler salary to give me back my bullets, which probably isn't the best thing you should do after you just cut a bunch of people, especially Anthony Henry, who's out with an injury. And then we get to Wednesday night. And the Young Bucks are going to show the video. They actually had a countdown clock to when they were going to show the video.
Is it worth going into any detail before we actually talk about the video? Like, as
I can bring the video up if you guys want.
Yeah, you can. I mean, there's no audio to it, so we could talk over it while it plays.
Or we could just watch it and fucking, you know, whatever. I don't give a fuck.
I don't know. Is there anything CM Punk said during the interview that he had suggested to Jack Perry not to use real glass during
after Tony Schiavone came to him and he said that Jack Perry cursed him out, cursed a whole bunch of other people out after they told him not to do it, and he was pretty much like, if you want me to do it, you're not going to like what I do. And then, you know, that's kind of like the MO of CM Punk through this whole thing. Like, if you want me involved, you're not going to like it. And he pretty much told Jack Perry, why do you want to do that? He's like, we're not doing that. And then they pretty much got into, like, the rental car things, too. And Jim Cornette even talked about on his show, you start going fucking up rental cars, rental car companies are not going to want to rent cars to any wrestlers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Which has been proven in the past.
Time and time again, which is why they always fucking beat up Howard Finkel's car.
Happened.
So,
if you guys want, I got the. Here it is.
Oh boy. Hey, who's the fat guy on the left?
I thought I recognized you. I gave you a plate of corn muffins back in 1947 to paint my chicken coop, and you never did it.
Those corn muffins were lousy.
Paint my chicken coop.
Make me.
I thought I recognized.
All right. You got me, you fuck.
Yeah, that was good. I wasn't ready for that. That was funny.
No, that was fantastic.
But I mean, that's really the countdown to it, and they use it as a tool to promote the Young Bucks FTR match, saying this situation didn't give the Bucks time to stretch or warm up before the match, and that's why they lost the biggest match of their careers. Look, man, the video, I can't believe there's an argument out there of people saying the video shows that CM Punk told the truth, and then there's other people who are like, no, he didn't. You don't know what Jack Perry said to him. And it's like, guys, it's fucking right there. Like, it's just silly. And I don't know. I don't think they needed to show this and make it part of the story.
I give them credit for at least trying to shoehorn something into a story, because we always talk about how AEW has the worst stories. However, this was not a fucking good way to incorporate this at all into anything. First of all, let's just talk about the lead up, right? So the Young Bucks are supposed to be like these evil EVPs, and FTR is supposed to be like, you know, the good guys, the great wrestlers, everybody likes them, blah, 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 right? What have they been telling us for 2 years? CM Punk's an asshole. That's been their MO. So you show footage of the asshole being an asshole, and then you have your faces back the asshole up? Who doesn't even work for your company anymore? I mean, there's so many fucking plot holes in this thing. It's worse than a block of Swiss cheese.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it from that perspective.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, they have a germination of an idea, and it fucking just off the rails immediately.
Yeah, it's a company filled with half thoughts, basically, is what AEW is and what this attempt was. Now, I will give them credit, like Tony. If they were going to use it, they had it at their disposal, so I don't blame them for using it to try to, like, get buzz or to get even a quarter hour rating higher than, you know, was last week, or even incorporating it into a story. I don't hate that process, that thought process, but it just made CM Punk look 100% right. Like, it was just like, it just did not work for me.
And on top of that, too, you could have taken it from a different angle if you didn't have this whole EVPs or bad guys going on. You could have had FTR, you know, come out and say, hey, you fucked with our friend, so now we're going to fuck with you. And then everybody could have been like, well, fuck you. We all hate CM Punk, so we hate you, too. You could have worked it from a different angle, but you couldn't do it with the buildup because the EVPs were supposed to be like the, you know, the shitty heels at this point. So
now, HK, to take this a step further, a lot to talk about this possibly leading to Jungle Boy coming back. And if that's the case, then, again, I don't hate the thought process going into it, aligning Jungle Boy with Okada and the Bucks.
Where's the payoff?
The payoff has got to be the tag team match.
Well, okay, so you're using FTR, who was not there in that situation.
Right.
Right? They were not there. The Young Bucks were not there. Right, and you're using a guy as the lightning rod who no longer works there anymore to try and further the storyline between FTR and the Young Bucks, because it screams of desperation that you can't figure out how to do it on your own. It's fucking disgusting. It's sad. It's silly. There's no fucking payoff. Nobody looks good in any of it. And people say, well, it's going to help Perry be more of a heel when he comes back. People already don't fucking like Perry.
You could have just brought Perry back without showing this video at all.
He could have fucking showed up, and people don't like him to begin with.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. There's no payoff. There's no payoff, and there's no sense in using somebody for their story that can't be part of the fucking story. it reeks of desperation. It was such a try to grab ratings. And what they get, 9%, not 29%, Tony Khan, not 29%. Go back and maybe do your own mathematics. It's like 9%. It sucks. I feel bad for them.
But let me ask you this, and HB Double T, maybe you can chime in on this as well. Is there any downfall to having it and not using it? Or is there any like upside for not that's what I meant. Is there any upside to having it and not using it? You have this little piece, how minimal it might be, of ammo in your holster, in your gun. Wouldn't you want to use it for something, Matt? HB Double T?
I'm sure in the right situation. Just again, if you look at the timeline, CM Punk says everything that happened at the fight. Then he's not even wrestling at WrestleMania, and 70,000 people are chanting his fucking name. To show it right after that, it just doesn't make any sense. Now maybe look, if you don't show it Wednesday, and then Jack Perry costs FTR the tag titles at Dynasty, and they want to explain it in a couple weeks on Dynamite, and Jack Perry says, this is why I did this.
There you go.
Because they're friends with this guy who attacked me. You know, spin it. But for it to come out during that week where Tony Khan cut budgets, CM Punk told his side of the story, it makes Tony Khan look kind of like, he's like, no, I have this. I'm going to show you. It makes him look childish.
Oh, 100%. It absolutely does. But
you know, and I'm sure there's boys and girls at AEW that just like, look, man, there's live footage of the crowd when they're showing this video, and the crowd is chanting fucking CM Punk.
Yeah.
They're chanting for somebody who's not even in your fucking company. Like, God, just move. You got to move fucking forward. And it was, and then they show the video. It is what it's pretty much. Look, you can argue online with fucking strangers if you want. It's pretty much what Punk said.
Yeah.
They got into each other's face. Jack Perry says, what are you going to do about it? He fucking pushes him. He puts him in a guillotine. Joe breaks it up. He fucking screams at Tony Khan. It's over. Then FTR comes out, and I don't know who's doing production or what. I'm with Tony on this. When they say shit like, this isn't on the run sheet.
Yep.
Just yep. Stop. Just, oh my God, FTR's here and they have something to say. Why not just fucking say that?
Yeah, and their music plays too, by the way.
It just
that is
like
classic.
Oh, do you think classic. They're backstage steaming, going, "Hey, music guy, put our CD in."
Like that is this isn't on the run sheet. It's classic Dying Days WCW.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. That's like a Mark Madden line, mm-hmm, verbatim told to him by Vince Russo or whoever's in charge.
Or remember Goldberg? Is he going to follow the script?
So I maybe it got a couple extra people to tune in for Dynamite, but like,
yeah, it's people that care about CM Punk, and then they're
like,
not going to show up.
People
again
aren't coming
week.
Back. There's like, there's, you know,
ultimately AEW's problem is it's fail-safe. Tony Khan's got tons of money, and he couldn't give less of a fuck if he spends it all and keeps spending it and keeps spending it. And that's the problem. That's the thing. As long as Tony Khan is willing to spend money, AEW is not going anywhere. They're just not.
And you know what's so heartbreaking about that whole situation? That he loves wrestling. There's no doubt in my mind.
Oh, for sure. He's a super fan. Absolutely.
Loves it. And if he loved it that much, he would let it go. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, let it go. Let somebody else help you write your television shows, and let someone who knows professional wrestling do this for you.
It's like Matt, who's the one that owns Genie Bus?
Genie Bus, yeah.
Genie Bus. She don't know shit about wrestling, right? So she's got people like Dave McLean and a bunch of other people running
AJ
the show
Lee.
For her. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Wait,
why
Genie
can't
Bus?
Tony Khan do that?
Yeah.
The Lakers?
Yep.
So Tony Khan could easily like put somebody in charge and then maybe like, hey, I'd love to see this. Can you work this in somehow? You know what I'm saying? Vince McMahon was at his best when he had Filters, when he had Gorilla Monsoon, when he had Pat Patterson, when he had Chief J. Strongbow, like all these guys around him, because they were in charge of a whole bunch of shit. And he could just sit back and say, let's do this, let's do that. And they will tell him yes or no. things started getting bad when Vince was in charge of everything, right? Yeah. It's sort of the same situation here, just to like a much higher degree.
They might as well call him TKM, Tony Khan McMahon. He might as well be TKM right now.
Hey, guys, can you get me a glass table?
I also feel like he's got Darby in his company. He's fine. I also feel like this could just be me talking out my ass. I think he gets influenced by fucking Meltzer.
Oh, for 100%. Sure.
Without a doubt.
And that's crazy because like they have Jerry Lynn is there and Pat Buck and Paul White and Mark Henry, like all these brilliant fucking minds in wrestling that have worked in the wrestling business. And here's a dude who just writes a fucking newsletter. Like, yep. I don't know. It doesn't seem good. And, you know, I keep going back, and I know there's three sides to every story. It's guy A, guy B, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. But I think CM Punk hit it right on the head, man. Like, when you're more worried about having a fucking five-star match versus how many people are in the building, like, you're doing it wrong. And I think that's kind of, like, man, didn't Tony Khan say a couple months ago, like, look at the cage, like he said, like, look at the cage match ratings?
Yep.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? Bro, you're a 10. There's a video out there of him trying to hype up the crowd in between the end of Collision and the Ring of Honor tapings. Bro, the venue is it's sad. It's empty. I feel bad for people. I feel bad for the boys and girls that work at these companies that got to go out there and perform in a fucking arena that's 3/4 of the way empty.
Let me ask you this, Matt. Do you think... Oh, God, sorry. HBTT, let me ask you something, brother.
No, you're good. HBTT's taking... He's calm today. He took his Zoloft off.
He's taking a powder. Do you think that people in the company are, like, within... Like, some of the names we just mentioned, like the Jerry Lynn's, the Pat Bucks, the Mark Henry's, do you honestly think they believe in Tony Khan? Or are they just towing the company line, being happy to be there, happy to have a TV show, happy to make their paychecks? I can't imagine anyone is working for that company. Even the guys like The Revival, or what are they? FTR. like, even guys like that are super confident in how their show is being run. Like, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I would hope. Like, look, man, there's... And a lot has changed since a lot of these people signed these contracts and AEW was an alternative and it wasn't the WWE. When you were just going to work to collect a paycheck and you're in professional wrestling where that's like an art form and you're at that point, like, why even fuck? Just quit then. Like, if you're just showing up to collect a paycheck, I think you clearly have to have faith in the owner and the people booking the show. You have to, because if they're doing a shit job, you can go out there and do your best, but it's going to look fucking stupid, like this fucking video situation.
I mean, everyone looks goofy. Reaction. Look at Tony Schiavone's reaction to it.
Yep. Tony Schiavone said he was told to look disgusted by the Young Bucks. That's what he said.
He is full of
shit.
He didn't need that direction.
He was going to look that way regardless. And the one thing that I did laugh about while watching this backstage footage was, I mean, we can all agree, like, this was nothing, right? This was nothing. This wasn't a fight. This wasn't a brawl. This was simple schoolyard bullshit is what it was. But if you look at the bottom of the screen towards the end of it, Aubrey Edwards still has a knack for trying to grab attention because she walks like this away. She's still, no matter what, she's got to grab some attention, and away she goes.
I would love to pick. I don't think she knew the camera.
Oh, there. It's fucking hilarious.
God, I don't know. Sorry, Tony, to cut you off. Like,
no, go ahead.
You would have thought, like, if the idea to drop this was going to draw viewers, right? Wouldn't you make this like a banger of an episode? It was a very, very pedestrian Dynamite. Yep. Super fucking pedestrian.
Yep.
Now, I cut you off, Tony. I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
I don't know if you knew, but Meltzer gave the main event of WrestleMania 40 4 3/4 stars.
All right.
didn't go the full five. However, can I read you a quote from about 3 years ago?
Sure.
It's a long one, but it's from Meltzer's podcast. I promise I am objective and have a clever standard of what is good in wrestling. Important and culturally relevant matches like Hogan versus Andre and Hogan versus The Rock? Nah. You see, those matches were actually bad and low quality. Gage and Jericho was different. You brought up my critiques of Deathmatch in the past for being gruesome, unnecessary, and only having the appeal of shock value? Nah, this match was different. There was immense feeling and heart in Gage slicing Jericho up with a pizza cutter. I hated the match, but it deserves 4+ stars. So Nick Gage and Chris Jericho is just about on par of Cody and Roman Reigns. There you go, folks. This is the guy that's leading the charge in Tony Khan's mind for the betterment of AEW.
God. Imagine Dave Meltzer's like the benefactor for Tony Khan. Like.
Money, money. Have you ever seen his apartment? I don't think that's the case.
That's a solid point.
Lots, a couple people in the chat chiming in. Scott George wants to say, Punk was trying to recruit Jack for his porno.
Jack, you thought it said promo?
I thought that says fucking porno.
That says porno.
Oh, I read it.
And Jack gave him crap about him. These brush-ups happen every day.
Well, who doesn't want to be in a CM Punk porno?
Scott, please tell me more about this porno. Matthew Birch, the only person who comes off looking good in the fight video is Hook because he literally didn't care about anything that was happening around him, and I think that's hilarious.
He's Hook, brother.
Mott Spock, funny, at Windy City Riot during Jack Perry's match, people started chanting, you choked out, you got choked out, and then the other half of the crowd chanted, no, he didn't.
The only reason why he didn't is because Samoa Joe was there.
Yeah.
And Chris Hero.
Didn't Jack Perry get choked out over the weekend at some New Japan show?
Punk, Scott George, Punk has Triple X on the back of his jacket.
Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hand job, Kyle.
CM Spunk. CM
Spunk.
He's got brown goo.
Probably smells like them cupcakes from that fucking place he goes to.
Oh, yeah, him and Tara.
Oh, boy.
So it was, I don't know. It just felt like it didn't do like, I don't think you need all this, the extra bells and whistles to sell me on FTR Young Bucks.
It's probably one of the most storied rivalries of their company.
So, yeah, Tony, honestly, but you don't watch AEW, Tony, so you're not going to like that.
No, but like, I get it. They had their whole story already. They had all their matches. We're going to get it again. It's like fucking, how many times can you watch John Cena and fucking Randy Orton? You know what I'm saying? Dude, like every couple years they went back to the well, and every time it was a good match, but every time it was like, why the fuck are we doing this?
Well, Sting, Ric Flair. It's a proven thing. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Rock.
Yeah, they only did that 3 times.
Yeah, and I think this is the third FTR Young Bucks match.
There you go. Get him, Matt.
I just got to look on the computer box here. I can't see shit.
Yeah, get me, dude. Come on. Come get me, bro.
I'm not trying. I'm just wanting, you know, like, come on, man. Like, you can hate. If you're not into it. If you're not into it, you're not into it. But at least get your fucking facts straight, brother.
What facts straight? I don't want to see another CM Punk fucking Young Bucks. CM Punk, Jesus Christ, fucking FTR Young Bucks match. I don't give a shit.
You know what I don't want to see? Freaking Lee Moriarty wrestling on my TV with a singlet with the straps up from the start. Pisses me off, man. Anyway, I digress. Back to what was this? This wasn't Brawl Out. What was this called? Nothing? Rumble in the Jungle Boy?
Rumble in the Jungle Boy? Whoa! That's a smooth up in you, huh?
All right, so the match they had at Wembley was their third.
Huh.
Listen, I'll never fault AEW for putting this on as a pay-per-view match. Like, it's going to deliver, and what pay-per-views are designed to do is deliver good wrestling. And this will provide good wrestling, and it does have, despite what you think about the way it was built and the story, there is a story for it. So I'm not gonna shit on them for that.
Well, I mean, can I counterpoint you on that, KJG? And again, I'm a big FTR guy. Admittedly, not a Bucks fan, right? Okay. Not a Bucks fan. They work well together. I'll watch an FTR match any day, right? Big fan of their work. But going back to this, well, and it's still young. And you've said it before, like it's Young Bucks and FTR, and that's kind of been their tag team division for the most part, right? Is Young Bucks FTR. There's been teams here and there throughout, but yeah, but for the most part, it's Young. When Acclaim got super hot, they killed them. So going back to the well of Young Bucks FTR, how are you elevating another team into being in? You know what I mean? Like, and they haven't been around a long time. They haven't been around a long time, right? They've been around a long time, and they're going back to Bucks and FTR. Yeah. Like, you got to work other teams in there. You got to work teams into the spotlight.
That's a very fair point, but I think it's a different discussion, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that, while they're connected, are kind of not on the same, like, we can't debate both at the same time, I don't think. Because I do agree with you in terms of they should elevate more teams, but at this point, it just might not be the right place to do it. Like, they're working on this program right now. They're capitalizing on a rivalry that's been longstanding. It's not the first time we've seen it. It's not the last time we'll see it. So I agree. Maybe after this, whoever wins this, then we get our next team up to try to compete with them. And who that is? Don't know.
Listen.
They're still the Trios champs.
Oh.
Pretty much, yes. Yep. Asian Joe says, I like that Omega basically said throwing hands to settle arguments is healthy and need it in certain realms. Jesus Christ. I got to take these fucking realms off. So people can get it out of their system and move on. Apron Bump said, it wasn't a tool to build FDR Bucks. They started with the desire to show the footage, then horseshoed it.
Yeah.
A way to make it to relate to the match.
Yeah, yep. I agree with that.
Mike Peterson, Motor City Machine Guns are free agents. They could be a third team in the mix.
I want to see them go somewhere other than Impact or TNA, but I really want them to go to WWE. Really?
Did you see this thing that Kenny Omega said about his relationship with CM Punk?
Yeah.
This is crazy. They have mutual respect for each other. They reached out. They've talked. There's no issue between him and I, as far as I know. I don't think there is at all.
Wow, two adults figuring shit out? Who would have fucking figured that? Who could see that coming?
No. Here, he even said, I'm actually not a huge fan of pulling back the curtain on stuff that doesn't need to be out in the public. That's why I'm saying, if guys were to fight or whatever, it's not like the public needs to know. That's just from their other stuff, get out of their system. That's all I mean. That's fucking awesome.
You know what? That's an athlete. That's what athletes do. Like, like hockey players, football players, they fight their teammates in practice. Like, that happens. It's a thing.
Yeah, and you know what the best part is? Like, the press asks them, like, hey, we heard about something. What happened? Nothing happened. Everybody gets along. We're good.
And that just shows you who, like, the catalyst for this whole thing were. Yeah. It was, I mean, Punk started it with the press conference, but the Bucks made it physical.
He really did lose his shit during that press conference, didn't he?
Holy shit, did he fucking all over fucking Colt Cabana and the fucking goofy Adam Page interview.
Well, I mean, Adam Page did go into business for himself, let's be honest. Yeah. I don't know if he did it because he's an idiot and he fucking forgot what he was supposed to say and he thought he was like doing something good for business, but yeah, it was kind of fucking stupid of him to do that.
Yeah, but did you hear CM Punk's excuse? Like, I didn't know what was going on at the time. I couldn't hear over the crowd, and then you watch the video back and you can hear a fucking pin drop. The crowd's not making any fucking noise. So I was working on Wednesday night and you guys were texting about how goofy this was, and then Will Ospreay comes out with Renee Paquette.
Will Ospreay.
And he goes on to say something to the effects of I didn't get to where I was like you did by grinding on the boss's daughter.
Now, he didn't say it like that. He probably said, I was grinding on the boss's daughter, bruv. Bruv. So, bumping nasties, bruv.
So that happened like right after this FTR Young Bucks thing, right?
Yeah, but what exactly did Triple H say? Can we
okay, so I have it here. So Triple H went on the Pat McAfee show and he said, if they're not here to be all in on this, like when I see people that come out to try and make it and then pick the job where they go, well, they work less, the schedule is lighter. Where the fuck is the rest of this quote? Why do I find these shitty fucking
websites.
Shitty, shitty fucking, shitty, shitty fucking.
Tony, if you had the choice, would you go God with...
Damn it. Sorry, brother give me a love second.
Or Brother Bruv?
Brother Bruv, for sure.
Brother Bruv?
Bruv.
Ah, Bruv, you.
Bruv.
Bruv.
He's the only British guy I've ever heard use the word bruv.
I don't know if that's a thing. I have to.
I think it is, right? Like, I don't know.
We should ask Bread Club Kieran.
Yeah, how's Kieran doing these days?
It's great. He got
married.
It's a
shame the fucking Fightful Select won't put your fucking show on their feed anymore, cocksuckers.
I mean, it's on YouTube.
I understand, but for those of us who like to put you in our pocket and take you everywhere we want to go, you know.
I guess we could ask Baza, too. Is he still a thing?
Is he still a guy? Thing?
Yeah. Why can't I find this fucking thing from Triple H?
Who gives a shit, Triple H? Let me see. Triple H, Pat McAfee.
Long story short, as he said, if you want to like fly in once a week and work, you know, you're not grinding. And then that's where I guess Will Ospreay took it as a shot.
Are Pat McAfee and Triple H related? Well, that's an interesting topic on Reddit. Fuck is going on?
Yes, they're brothers.
Yeah, they're bruvs.
Bruvs.
Bruv.
Oh, here we go. I found it. Thank you. 41 Mania's got it here. Let me see. Let me just see if I can find a quote.
If you're not
Tony,
in it,
why do I find these shitty websites?
No, here you go. No, I had to skim through. It's a big paragraph. If they're not here to be all in on this, when I see people coming out to try to make it, and then they pick a job where, well, they work less, the schedule's lighter, then I'm like, I'm glad I didn't pick you. If you're not in it for the grind at that point early in your career, you have no business being here. Was that a shot?
Not do you think all in had anything to do with it?
Well, he did say all in, didn't he?
That's just a, that's.
I agree. I'm reading into it, of course.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, if you're really looking for something there, you could find something, but.
But like, if you're Ospreay and you see that he uses those words, are you in your head thinking, that's a shot at me because I didn't choose you?
No, I think if I'm a whiny little bitch that dad's got billions of dollars, I might think that he's taking a shot at me.
Right. Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah. In that situation, yeah. Thanks, so, sir. Fidi Garifo.
Fidi Garifi.
So Ospreay believes it was a shot at him. They had gone deep into negotiations for him to go to WWE, but the thing that he was set on was he wanted to live in the UK. Because he is with his partner, and she has a little boy, and he's trying to raise a family with her. So he has no problem traveling, but they wanted him to move to Orlando, and
wait,
he wasn't going to do
it. Wait, I
thought
he was dating Bea Priestley, wasn't he?
No, he's with Alex Windsor.
Then who was dating Bea Priestley?
I don't fucking know.
What's you are.
Clothesline her in Japan or some shit?
Yes.
He fucking knocked her tits off.
Who's dating
Bea? Ripped the tits off the bitch?
I thought they were a couple.
They were once.
A couple of what?
She is now dating wrestler Jack Perry.
This is Jack Perry. Neither of us draws very well. It's fucking fantastic.
She's rate Bree.
Bree Bella.
Priestley.
Yes,
is dating Josh Terry. He is NXT superstar Riley Osborne.
Oi. Oh, she's in NXT as well, no?
Yes, she's Blair Davenport.
Wait, yes, that's it.
Got that out of your system, Tony?
Yeah.
So, look, like, I get it. Like, I don't know. I thought the shot was just out of left field. Like, I thought Ospreay was just being cheeky. But it's in response to what the trip said.
Childish again.
Oh, here
childish.
We go.
Then again,
the rules of engagement say.
Then
go
again,
ahead, fucking rule master HK, you fucking hand job.
Then again, Jade Cargill left AEW because she wanted to put in the work. So you know.
Look, so did Cody.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Listen, yeah. If it was strictly because he didn't want to relocate his family to the United States, you can't, like. Argue that's fine, but don't take the shot. Like, come on, just like let it go. Like, if it was even a shot at him,
Yeah, but right. maybe it was just an edict in general where it's like, if you want to come here and you want to be a star here, you got to put in the work. And if you don't want that, then, you know, good thing we didn't hire you.
I mean, he did strike out on the last three biggest free agents, too, so.
I don't think they're really, like, I don't think they're sad about it. Look at what they're doing.
Yeah. No. I don't know, man. You don't think at any point adding Ospreay, Sasha Banks, or Okada to that WWE mix would have been huge?
Yes, because they would have done it right.
Right,
Sasha
Banks, I give
but
a fuck about.
So that's neither here nor there, though, if they do it right or not.
Well,
right?
Look, fucking Mercedes Moné, she ain't doing shit, right? Okada, what did they do with him? They fucking had him beat Pockets for the fake title. Oh, no, fucking Cheeseburger Eddie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, TVE. Oh, who gives a shit? He got a fucking belt at the Continental Classic. Whoop-de-doo. Ospreay's the only one they had a shot with because he's got a connection with people and people seem to give a shit about him. And what has he done? He wrestles everybody that's in the Don Callis family with him. Who gives a fuck?
And a guy who you're bringing in as your top free agent, as your biggest star, has a competitive match with your, like, not secondary, not, you know, what's below secondary, third-dary, fourth-dary, champion in Kyle Fletcher, who's a great talent, but he's not booked.
Not on that level.
And you have him have a competitive match and you should have beat him in 4 minutes.
Yep. He should have went out there, fucked him up, gave him one heat spot, shut him down, and fucking finished him off.
And Tony, how about this? The one free agent that WWE did land over the last few years outshines the three that AEW brought in, and that's Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes is one person selling $1 million in merchandise over WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, but then again, they're also doing an amazing job right now with Jade Cargill. They know she's green. They know she can't do a lot. They're putting her in spots where she's going to look fucking amazing while she's getting her training.
100%. Putting her with I'm sorry, HK. Putting her with Bianca, great move. Great move. And we can get to WWE later. But I also want to say, I think all three of them, to Matt's point, would have done really well in WWE. I think Will Ospreay especially. Just based on how he was initially presented, but then they shit the bed with him just like they did the other two, Okada and Moné.
Yeah, and where's Ibushi? Is he still out with his broken feet?
Oh, but don't even. That's not even a thing. What were you going to say, HK?
I was going to say a couple of things. One, you can add Pillman Jr. to that list as well of guys.
Yeah, what's he been doing lately?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, he's definitely on that list of guys that showed up and presented much better.
Tony doesn't watch NXT. He has no idea.
No, what's Lexus King been doing? Has he been around? He wasn't on the pay-per-view.
He wasn't on the pay-per-view. He's been, like, the last 2 weeks he hasn't been around.
I forget.
He could. I forget what the...
He was definitely on, like, one of their, like... He had a match with Carmelo Hayes, didn't he?
I forget now off the top of it. Anyways, the other thing I was going to say is to the extent of, like, what Ospreay said compared to what Triple H said, you have to connect the dots and say, that's a shot at me. And if you're Ospreay or you're TK, whoever you are, like, you have to look at that and you have to go, oh, well, that's about me. Right. Ospreay came out and made a bad joke in somewhat poor taste on national TV, directed at Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, while Renee Paquette, who is friends with Stephanie McMahon, is standing right next to you, and she looks disgusted. So there's a really big difference in what the two of them did and what Ospreay had said, whether it was on his own or whether he was being fed. You look like a jackass. You just look like a jackass. To Matt's point, yes, I like Ospreay. I enjoy his work. I think if he would have showed up in WWE, he'd likely to do great things. At the same time, if you look at their roster, we had this conversation a couple weeks back, might be one of the greatest assembled rosters that we've ever seen in professional wrestling history. So missing out on one Will Ospreay, no, I don't think that they're losing any sleep. I don't think they're crying about it. Would he have been a fun ad? Would they have done great stuff with him? Yes, but they're not losing any sleep over not having him.
No, but I think Triple H could be a little ornery about it, because I think at the end of the day, it all came down to money. They all took Tony Khan was just giving them fucking boatloads of money.
Yeah. It's the WCW thing. It's boatloads of money. It's a light schedule, and they get to travel back and forth from the country they live in.
Yeah, so if that's the case, then Will Ospreay should have no issue with what Triple H said. He chose to not relocate his family. He chose to take more money to work less. Triple H basically just stated facts. I mean, I'm pretty sure the creative freedom might have something to do with it. I'm pretty sure that's why Edge left. I'm pretty sure that's why Daniel Bryan left. So, like, that has to play into it as well. But, like, Ospreay should not have to go to that level just because Triple H made a blanket statement about all wrestlers in AEW.
Yeah, but maybe he felt it was at him because look, we've all traveled before.
That's right.
Right? Coming back from fucking Florida, Tony was stuck in fucking Florida for a day and changed at the airport because of the weather. This dude's taking 8 to 10 hour flights once a week just... And this is what he signed up for. So maybe he feels like, I was willing to do this for you. I will do this for you. Like, maybe this is him. Like, you had an opportunity to have me. I was willing to do this, but you wanted me to move somewhere, and I wasn't ready to do that. But I would have gladly traveled every week to you. Like, maybe that. And look, I can't get inside his psyche. I don't know what fucking Meltzer said this week or Sean Ross Sapp or whatever other fucking interview guru is out there that knows what's going on in Will Ospreay's head. But look, he felt that it was at him, and Tony Khan gives him the freedom to go out there and do it. Do I agree with it? Not necessarily, but the dude grinds. The dude also was going to fucking Japan during the pandemic and spending 2 fucking weeks in a broom closet just to clear COVID protocol and then go out there and have fucking awesome matches.
Is it as simple as, like, when you go into work, getting a job, and they say, hey, you got to be clean shaven to have this job? Well, don't want to be clean shaven. Well, you don't get the job. Hey, you want to have this job? You got to move to Florida. Don't want to move to Florida. All right, you don't have this job. Move the fuck on.
Yeah. And I mean, if he really felt the need to come back at Triple H, he could have been a little more tongue in cheek like Triple H was. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's AEW. Like, yeah,
it is what it is.
Push the envelope, right?
Tongue and cheeky.
Bruv.
Lexus King was on NXT April 2nd. He beat Von Wagner.
Oh, how's Von doing? He's doing all right.
That's a Beverly Brothers kid.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess.
Beverly?
What do we got here? Agent Joe said, basically, save these shots on competitors for interviews, not on TV programming. Danny Russ, why cry about missing Ospreay when you land Tama Tonga?
So did people know who Tama Tonga was? I get
the crowd
impression.
Reacted.
Okay.
Danny Russ, Triple H shouldn't call out Ospreay for not wanting to grind or whatever that's supposed to mean.
He didn't say Ospreay's name once.
If it's a shot at Ospreay to say he's not willing to grind when he wrestled more matches in 2024 so far than Roman has wrestled in 3 years.
That's not a fair comparison.
Yeah, who's selling merch? Who's leading the fucking charge? I mean, come on now. Nothing to take away from Ospreay and what he's done, but Jesus Christ.
No, again, it's the whole last 2 weeks, the timeline has been fucking out of control with the Punk interview and the budget cuts and the wrestler salary for Give Me Back My Bullets, and we're going to release this footage, and Ospreay's going to go after Triple H. Triple H is going to make this blanket statement that could apply to everybody, and it could apply to nobody. And you know, other podcasters are saying NXT people look like slaves. And one guy's saying this lady doesn't ask. Wow, it's been a crazy week. Zelina Vega's not. She's taking people's art, and then she doesn't want to pay them. And then there's the yarn
cucumbers.
Lady. Oh, that's right. Dude's giving cucumbers to the lady at WrestleCon. The wrestling community is off its fucking rocker, people.
So Mandy Rose isn't in WWE anymore, right?
Correct.
Okay, but Liv Morgan is.
Yeah. Right.
For some reason, I always get them confused, and I don't know why. Here's another interesting question, right? They had photos. I think it was maybe WWE posted them on Facebook of, like, all the people that were at the Hall of Fame, and they took pictures on, like, so it was like Triple H with Bull Nakano, and then it was like Rhea Ripley with somebody. And honest to God, dude, there were pictures of women. I have no fucking clue who half of them were. None whatsoever. I don't know if they're women wrestlers from NXT. I don't know if they're, like, wives of wrestlers. But I was like, who the fuck are these people? I don't know. It was just women dressed up. And I was like, oh, this is great. Who are they?
Probably all the above.
Yeah, if you fucking told, if you gave me the NXT roster without names on it, I could, I bet you I'd do terribly.
I recognize the Pretty Deadly dudes because they have that look to them. I mean, they weren't wearing those like fucking weird tops
you,
that
you
they
like
wear.
Those tops. I know.
No, those tops are fucking dreadful.
Yeah, they're on SmackDown, by the way, too.
Yeah, oh, are they really?
Yeah. Throw that out there.
Can I just say, I did watch Dynamite Wednesday, and I did enjoy, I like seeing Edge wrestle not the WWE style, if that makes sense to anybody.
Yeah.
It's just different. You're so used to what, you're so used to an Edge match in the WWE universe to see him out there with different guys who can go. You know, I thought him and Penta was good on to open Dynamite. It's not, you know.
Oh,
to their credit, it wasn't 5 stars. Meltzer didn't give it 5 stars, but it was
a
fine
match.
Well,
there was no pizza cutter, and they all had their teeth.
I hate another criticism of AEW. I hate what they're
Let
doing.
Let it out.
I hate what they're doing with Penta. Penta should be a top guy, like everywhere, like he
no.
was in TNA.
Phoenix should have been a top guy.
No, Penta. Penta had like La Parca times 18 billion.
And all that money La Parca drew.
Oh, La Parca was a draw, bro. Yo, you know where La Parca drew? Germany.
Didn't him and his dumb kids get fucking thrown out of MLW for beating up Jacob Fatu like last year?
Nobody
like,
beat
shoot?
Jacob Fatu.
Yeah. You don't remember they were out on the ramp and Hammerstone even had to come break it up because and there was like shit between Fatu and Hammerstone at the time and he had to fucking go over there and go, what the fuck are you doing?
Big beefy boy.
I did like the cooking with the fucking Parkas. When they fucking talk about pendejo and the fucking sausages, throwing them in the frying pan.
You love pendejos.
All right. Oh, this is God. From Fightful, April 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The MLW angle devolved into what was almost an all-out fight. Wrestling Observer reported the news that La Parca and his sons were fired by MLW following them getting outright irresponsible during an angle. We're told that during a post-match angle, La Parca and family attacked Jacob Fatu in what was a planned angle. However, real punches were thrown by Park and his kids, followed by a dangerous chair shot.
Yep.
Hammerstone was said to have recognized this and went over to try and help, and getting cracked with a chair in the process. We're told that backstage, Hammer was ready to fight all three, with the two sons angling off the 56-year-old Park. Davey Richards, who was an ER doctor, tended to those who needed, which we're told was invaluable to the situation.
What are they going to show the
footage? Davey Richards and his big dick laying hands to help people out.
Big Davey energy.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's a good point. When will MLW release the footage?
Well, half of it made air.
And look, Dustin Rhodes has been around forever. Dude is awesome. I did not mind his match with Joe.
I am right with you. I'm a big fan of Dustin Rhodes. The one thing I will say is, how come they didn't really give a big giant fuck about him until like Cody's now? You know what I mean? Like they sprinkled him in here and there. Now Cody, right? Cody's world champion. He's doing big things, giant draw. And now all of a sudden, but look, we got his brother. Dustin deserves better than that. That's fucked.
Right. That's it.
Well, wasn't he in a tag team with Keith Lee?
Yeah, what would they?
Oh God, what do you call the naturally
limitless?
Might as well call them
Air
Boom.
Oh my God, Keith Lee was at WrestleMania, everyone.
God, they stuck Keith Lee in some shitty ass tag teams.
Yeah, he's Keith
because they don't know what to do with him, man. He went to AEW and he floundered like a lot of those guys.
It's
got to stop hanging out with Eddie. That's what he's got to stop doing.
It's got to be the booking, right? They book like shit. It's almost as bad as fucking New
Japan.
Well,
I'm sure his diet's not the greatest either.
God, I feel like we were like 5 years ago. We were having 5 years ago. We were having these exact same conversations about WWE. Like the exact same conversation.
It's crazy.
I mean, Brock Lesnar faced off with him at the Rumble and said, "Look at this big motherfucker."
That's
you know
awesome.
What I'm saying?
It
was awesome.
What the big boy?
That was awesome.
Like, how do you fuck that up?
Danny Russ, opening and closing the show with Joe and Sorv was awesome. Marking out, the match was fine, but do that the same exact week, that was goofy. And to your point, HK, with Dustin.
That's why they did it.
Is Danny Russ like an official AEW apologist? Is that?
Oh, yeah, he's on the board, bro.
Okay, gotcha. Just wanted 100%. To make sure.
He's corporate Danny.
That's right. He's right there in the meetings with dear, close personal friends, Kevin Matthews and Pat Buck.
Nice. Nice.
He's right there.
So Russ. We'll see. What do they got this? What are they doing? Ospreay Claudio this week.
I'm Don and Mike.
Will Ospreay.
You know what? I wanted to talk about too. I know we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk some WWE and stuff. Bro, Mercedes, and I think I texted you guys, the fucking dog, I swear to God, I don't want to close this window, but I'm going to close this fucking window.
No,
I listen back to us, and I hear fucking my man Pots and Pans and the dog the whole fucking time I'm on here, I'm going to fucking freak out. Who's ever writing for Mercedes Moné? She was not this fucking bad in WWE.
No, she's writing for herself. This Bro, is what happens it, when these
that
people
sit
they give
down
them,
interview yeah. they did with her Wednesday night was so fucking. It was. I felt like I was watching the fucking WWE Hall of Fame again, and she was reading off a fucking teleprompter. It was bad. There was no. I am here to fight.
Are they giving her a thing where she's mad at Willow for like? Getting injured in that match in New Japan, like is that?
She's not fucking in the rankings, but she's getting a title shot at fucking Double or Nothing. So explain to me how that fucking works. Just make it make sense to me. We're gonna bring back the rankings. The rankings matter. When Anna Jay comes out and her record's fucking 36-59, why the fuck do I don't want to see that?
Was it 69?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I fucking like an asshole. I watched fucking Ring of Honor this week. I was like, you know what? I know I'm not going to be happy with this, but I just want to see. It was fucking all. There was two decent matches on it. The rest of it was squash matches and recaps from Supercard of Honor. I'm surprised they didn't throw another fucking Collision commercial in there just for shits and giggles.
When are we getting Jamie Hayter back?
Not soon enough.
Oh, my God.
You like when those two girls kissed on Wednesday, didn't you?
Who kissed?
Oh
Toni Storm and What's-Her-Nuts?
No, Maria May and Mina Shikakawa or whatever the fuck
Who?
Her name is.
Yeah, that's the reaction.
Yeah, Jimmy Neidhart and Mariah May kissed.
Oh, God.
I get her name right here. I don't know. Sorry, I don't know.
Was Eric
Joshi.
Bischoff on the show with an HLA shirt? Like, what are we doing?
No, they're like, okay, there's a history there. I just don't know anything about Yoshi. Joshi?
Yoshitatsu?
Yoshi
he was
Tatsu.
Making out with all them women's.
Getting
let's
after
see,
it.
Let's see. Maria May, she
Mariah
beat
May.
Anna,
I know
Mariah
that.
May. She beat Anna Jay. And then Anna Jay put her in her finisher move, and it knocked her out. And then Mina Shirakawa came out. They used to be stablemates in Stardom. And she got her a glass of champagne. She made her drink a little bit of it. And Mariah wasn't feeling great. And then
she drugged her.
She kissed her.
Beat her.
And she came to life. Boom.
Wait, she drugged her and then kissed her with the antidote? Like, what are we doing?
No, they used to be in Club Venus together.
Who gives a shit? What was that, like Scissor Me Xerxes?
Yeah.
Whoa, they had a little, Scissor Me Xerxes.
They had a little celebration champagne, and then they kissed.
A little celebration.
Don't you mean celebration?
Celebrate?
So we're doing date rape drugs now on AEW. Is this
no, there's no date rape. What's wrong with you?
Well, I mean, she didn't get raped, but she got drugged.
I was gonna say, don't you have
no,
to?
No, she didn't get no. drugged. She had a little. She was parched after post match parchment,
and she gave her champagne.
Yeah, well, they had champagne before for a Toni Storm celebration where they attacked Thunder Rosa.
So they were drinking before the match.
Well,
doing Miss, a Stone Cold gimmick with champagne?
Miss May said, no, no, I have to go wrestle. She did not take a drink. She only had a drink after the match and before the kiss.
Justin Anderson wants to know what they did with the cucumber.
You know what? I don't know if anyone at WrestleCon brought these ladies a cucumber. If you're that guy, knock it off. It's fucking
Props.
Creepy.
Wait, though. What if he is just, he's a dedicated farmer?
Yeah, what if he was proud of his crops?
Right.
Props of the crops.
Maybe right? these ladies are vegan. Maybe he wanted them to sample his goods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what if it was bananas or potatoes? Maybe he was just being helpful and friendly.
Yeah, what if it was zucchini or squash?
Right. Yeah, any of those things.
Or a grape.
Could have been a grape.
Yeah, some guys like to grow grapes.
I believe the quote was,
"Oh boy." HK person, about to bring an eggplant to every event. Mike Peterson, he brings an eggplant to every event.
Someone gave her a zucchini, fresh mozzarella, and a pecan pie and said, "Here is a fresh zucchini in case of emergency."
My God, mark it out. A fucking emergency salad.
That's where I was going to go before you grabbed. Oh, Mikey P.
God damn. I got to see. But then there's like, okay, so then this goes on the Twitter, right? But then there's got to be like people who like quote tweeted it. She's going to be at that fucking brawl at the beach or the bash at the beach.
Oh, and that's right. Yeah.
Dave just announced her the other day.
That's right.
I got to see. I wanted, let's see. Oh, she's hot, dude.
She ain't
God
bad.
Damn it. I guess I can't see. Okay, let's see. Do people quote tweet this? How do I do this? Because other people are like, oh, I know that guy. He did it to me, too.
So maybe he is a farmer.
He's not a farmer. He's
could
a
be
fucking
a farmer.
Creep.
Yeah, maybe he's a farmer. E-I-E-I-O.
Now, does he ask him to sign the cucumber, or is it just a gift?
They measure it.
Dude. Kevin.
Internally,
KJ.
What?
They're not giving
that crazy
it.
Of a...
They're not giving. Feed? They're not giving it to her to eat it with her mouth.
Well, maybe.
No, that's why I'm asking if they ask them to sign it so we can take.
No, Kevin. They want her to stick it in her pussy.
Oh my God! Huh. Scott George, tag that.
They don't want her to sign it. They want her to use it on fucking fan time or whatever fucking
fan
thing
time.
She's whatever fucking what's the site
KJG
on?
Write that down, fan time.
But fuck, that's the name of her website, fan time.
And you said but fuck.
You know these fucking you know these guy wrestling fans are fucking ghouls?
Yeah, they are.
They're like, oh, no harm, no foul. Here's a fucking piece of mutz, pecan pie, and a zucchini just in case you get stuck in traffic.
So wait, what's the point? What's the point of the pecan pie and the mutz?
Jesus Christ, dude. I don't know.
I think MB makes a great point here. He says, I don't know why, but asking someone to sign a cucumber is somehow weirder than just giving somebody a cucumber. You're absolutely right, MB. You're
I agree with that. That's
right.
Why I thought that's the strange part. That's why I thought it was strange.
Well, because the cucumber and the mozzarella. I don't know, cucumber and mozzarella. I get it, though. He's probably like, hey, here's some fresh produce for you, you know?
Right.
And then just like hide, slide.
Hide and slide, yes.
Slide the correct. Cucumber in there.
in more ways than one.
Now, what if he also gave her some like a nice balsamic reduction on the side? Does that make it
a reduction?
Yeah,
not just a vinaigrette, a reduction.
No, a reduction. Yeah,
yeah, holy nice glaze.
Yeah, fucking
like,
fancy man.
Fans are like secretly like shop judges. Like, here are the basket of ingredients. Make something with this.
Like, an orgasm.
Number of pecan pie fresh. You have 40 minutes. Time starts now.
Fucking Iron Chef at fucking WrestleCon.
I got something you can fillet.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of movements, I... Oh, my God. Wow.
Basket ingredients, Mandy Sacks.
Oh.
Kapow!
The Iron Chef Fan Time Edition.
Kapow!
Our contestants got 30 seconds to go to the fridge.
You can use our entire pantry if you want.
Now, was the mozzarella fresh? Was it shredded? Like, what are we talking here? Are we talking a ball? Does he want to make like play ping pong with it? Maybe that's it. Use the mozz as a ping pong ball, and then you fucking use the... cucumber hit it back at her.
We're fine. Dunzo Magunzo.
Fuck yeah, we are.
cops. We can't have Funzie McGunzies.
Kind of, you know, you are kind of into it.
Fucking Justin nailed it. A glow in the dark production.
Kind of, you know, you are kind of into weird stuff.
Holy shit. Oh my God.
The main priority is masturbation, dudes.
Gee whiz.
Oh my God.
All right. I think on that note. Oh wait, what was that one?
It's a hand job kind of night, isn't it? Fuck yeah. Handy McGandy.
You will suck my meat.
Oh good God.
And my dick.
Hey, KJG, give me three, brother.
Back after this.
Thank you, sir.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on The Shining Wizards Network. On Mondays, check out the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the Year of Duke and Rogue, covering the history of wrestling year by year. Also from Gorilla Brain is the Tots Pod with Handsome Kevin and Loverboy Al, telling people to get off the lawn and reviewing wrestling figures. Also on Mondays, get your horror fix with 30 Screams or Less featuring Steve and Corey, where they review a horror film in 30 minutes or less. Monday nights live, it's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling. Wednesday nights, it's the Mark Order Podcast, covering everything AEW with Ant Money, Kate the Great, Ryan Schlong, and Asian Joe. Get your metal fix on Fridays with Snowy and Aaron on Radioactive Metal, the longest-running metal podcast on the planet. Saturdays, it's High Five Tom and Will Mercier on ROH Revelry, covering the history of Ring of Honor. On Sundays, it's Inconclusive Breakdown with Justin and Vince, covering the week in pop culture, politics, and more. The Shining Wizards Network also features other great shows, including Bread Club, where Kieran and Matt cover everything New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Brocast, where brothers Alan and Tom watch some of the greatest and not-so-great matches in wrestling. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, where the Impact Fly of Phil Rea discusses current wrestling while paying homage to the past. And Wrestling Night in Canada, where Snowy, Matt, and Dustin put a north of the border perspective on the world of wrestling. Enjoy all the great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
All right, well, we're back, and please, if you are watching, listening, whatever you're doing, please be sure to follow the Wizards at Wizards Podcast on all forms of social media. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google. What did I forget anything?
Everything.
I don't know. Everything. Patreon.com/Wizards Podcast. You can support the show for as little as a dollar a month, so check it out. We're doing great things over at the Patreon, always pumping out bonus content. I think the Time Machine was the last thing that dropped, so you're getting at least two brand new episodes every month. So head over there if you like the show. If you're in the chat and you're not a Patreon, Scott George, check out the show. Mark it out. What? What happened? What happened?
What?
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 Say what now?
Eh. What?
But check it out. And we have the Discord. There's a link in our link tree on Twitter. Jump in there and chat us up. There's just not wrestling conversation. There's video games. There's all sorts of music, all sorts of conversations, general talk. It's a good time. So check it out and check it up. Raw after WrestleMania. Oh.
Oh.
Raw tonight. Opening segment.
Rhea?
Yep. Dunzo Magunzo. She's got to step away. That's a bit of a bummer. Apparently, she got hurt last week wrestling Liv Morgan.
Not wrestling. They were in a backstage brawl segment.
Ah.
Fuck a piece of shit jerk off.
That's a bummer.
That's, wow. That does suck. She's had such a nice reign as the champion. Big win over Becky at WrestleMania. I was excited to see her and Liv because that really seems like it was the only thing they set up post Raw, you know, going forward outside of the, is it Jay is the number one contender now? CM Punk cost Drew that four way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be Jay. They're setting up Jay Drew. I'm assuming that's not going to be at Backlash. I'm assuming that's going to be a Raw type.
They're setting up Jay. Did you say, you said Jay Priest, right?
Damian Priest. Jay Uso, Damian Priest. Yeah. Yeah. And the Liv Morgan stuff was great because, like, listen, remember, Liv Morgan tapped out. I don't know. I don't remember if she tapped out Ronda Rousey or she just pinned her. Do you remember that? Or did she beat Rhea Ripley too? I think she beat both of them. But she definitely beat Ronda Rousey for the belt. She cashed in the Money in the Bank
again. Yeah, she cashed in.
Ronda. So, like, Liv Morgan was going strong since her return at the Rumble. So maybe they go with her now. Maybe they just go with the fail-safe. You know, Becky's contract is not a done deal. So maybe they don't go with Becky. Maybe they go with Liv. Maybe they move Jade back to Raw. I don't know. Bianca.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
We're going to get it. Does Triple H dip into the Tony Khan tournament book?
Well, I mean, I would think you would have to, right?
Well, not necessarily, because on SmackDown, they did the two triple threat matches, which I guess is technically a tournament. They did two triple threat matches with the winners to face off next week with LA Knight and AJ Styles, and the winner of that will face Cody.
Where's the next pay-per-view?
In Toronto.
We got any Canadians on the roster?
The next pay-per-view is in France.
Is
Backlash in France or Toronto?
France.
Okay, it's in France, yeah. So I would not be shocked if we see AJ get his win back from LA Knight and we get AJ Styles, Cody in France.
Ooh. The next two pay-per-views are in other countries.
Tell me one of them's in Toronto.
Saudi. No,
it's Backlash is in France. Clash, and then the King and Queen of the Ring will be in Saudi.
Tournaments!
That's what I was going to say. If they're doing the King and Queen of the Ring, we might as well put up the belt on the Queen of the Ring tournament.
Yeah, but
put
that's a long wait.
If you play it out, you could play it out. You can play in games, right? Play in games. Yeah.
No, I agree with HK on that 100%. What is it? Could it be in like what, May, June?
May. The next WWE pay-per-view that takes place in the United States will be SummerSlam in Cleveland, Ohio. It is France for Backlash, King and Queen in Saudi, Clash at the Castle in Scotland, then Money in the Bank in Toronto. Mm. And SummerSlam is August 3rd. That seems so early.
Yeah.
And then after SummerSlam is Bash in Berlin, the end of August.
Wow, really banking on that fucking international stage, huh?
Like it.
Yeah, I kind of like it, too.
Yep.
Yeah, it means these pay-per-views are going to be on at fucking better hours for us.
Yep.
Yeah, the ones in the European ones, for sure. I don't know.
Oh, not Saudi, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't Saudi, doesn't that usually be in a morning show?
Yeah,
yeah, but the European ones will be, like, some point in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Maybe we'll see Kratzo at one of those pay-per-views. What?
What? Are you going?
It's fucking going to be like 30,000 people there. You think we're going to see fucking... I wouldn't know Kratzo if I fucking walked into him.
What?
And with Matt.
You don't know what Kratzo looks like?
I haven't seen Kratzo in a long time. I wasn't here for the last Patreon thing.
That's right. You didn't hear him talking about the Stroopstoppel, whatever he plays.
I was here, and I still wouldn't know him if I walked into him.
You didn't realize he was in the room when we were talking to him.
Sorry, like Kratzo. I love you.
Like 10 minutes went by, and he went, oh, Kratzo.
What up, my dude?
So, a couple things from last week's Raw. Obviously, Raw after WrestleMania is pretty huge. We saw both NXT men's and women's champions have matches. Dragunov beat Nakamura, and it was announced that he will be on the main roster. He's declared for the draft. So, there's that. The Rock handed something to Cody. We're not entirely sure what it was. Maybe it was a bag of candy corn. He said, don't open this till I come back. Who knows? Phone's ringing, dude.
Maybe it was the idol from the rundown.
Maybe. John Cena was on Raw, and he was involved in the end of the Awesome Truth and Judgment Day match.
Do you think stuff like this is like just making Judgment Day continue to look silly? I mean, at this point, you got two world champions in that fucking stable, and then all of a sudden, R-Truth is, you know
not
what I'm
anymore.
Saying? Well, all right, fine. For last week, though.
Fucking literal Kevin in the house. I mean, look, Judgment Day was falling apart, though. Like, there's been dissension in the Judgment Day for months now.
So you think this is the impetus now that Rhea's got a...
I think Damian cashing in the same night... The same weekend they lost the tag titles, I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And now I think with Rhea on the shelf, you can at least still have her be part of the vignettes and stuff, which I think will be good for them because she kind of is the star of that group.
Do you want her on TV without the belt?
I mean, did we want Austin on TV when he didn't have the belt?
But if he can't wrestle, I didn't care for Austin on TV when he couldn't wrestle.
You mean that whole time he feuded with Vince where he couldn't wrestle, you didn't want him on TV? Like when he threw the Rock's IC title in the belt, in the river?
Okay, all right. That's fair. I was talking about like Sheriff Austin era.
Oh, no, that's yeah. Fucking garbage
Sheriff
to me.
Sheriff Austin, holy
no,
shit.
That's why do you think that's where I would go, KJG? I'm a little disappointed
because
in you.
I don't want someone on my TV, like, especially if they did like this whole like surrendering the belt thing, is that if that's what they did. Then just take the time off. Don't be on my TV. Come back, make a better, bigger impact on it. And I feel like Rhea Ripley's in that place where she could make a huge impact when she comes back.
Yeah, I don't think we need Rhea Ripley on TV every week. I agree with that.
I didn't say every week, but until the group breaks up, did they disclose what her injury was?
I think it was just her. She came out in an arm brace. Let me see. She's stuck on the bench for a few months. No, she's angry. She's pissed. Blah, 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 blah. No, she came out in a sling. That was it.
I bet that was a hell of a promo, though, that she did. I bet it wasn't like one of those like sympathetic, like, woe is me, like, I have to leave type things. I bet it was like, I'm like still the baddest motherfucker on this roster, and I will come back, and I will beat the fuck out of everybody. Like, I bet it was that kind of promo.
Pretty edgy.
From the way it reads, yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Really?
Yeah. I will have to watch it once we're done here. DVRs and stuff.
Oh, yes, DVRs. What else happened on Raw? Sheamus is coming back. That's pretty exciting.
Fella.
That's kind of...
Kind of what?
Nelly was doing something over there she wasn't supposed to be doing.
Playing with zucchinis?
No, come on.
What?
Cats are afraid of cucumbers.
So's the Undertaker. Maybe he's up. Hey, I didn't say
Sheamus is one of those guys who, like, for me, love like, Sheamus. I never, like, liked him when he was around. And then, like, Sheamus. The last couple of years, I've really been like, oh, man. So, like, man, could you, if Drew walks out of Clash at the Castle as the champion and then we get a Drew-Sheamus feud?
I still put the bar up there in one of those, and I know they were champions and they had a bit of a run, but
the bar.
It was one of those deals where it was like power and glory. Like, even though they got a little bit more of a stretch, like, that was a team that I could have been, you know, in favor of them going for a long time. I love the bar.
Scott George, Sheamus is wrestling Ivar right now.
Probably murdering that load.
Come on, dude.
What? I like Ivar. He's a load.
That's a former guest of the show right there.
Yeah, he's a load.
He's kind of a load.
Probably a glow-in-the-dark one at that.
Glow-in-the-dark.
The glow chode.
All right, so we had the historic Seth Rollins run as the champion. Drew beats him. Priest is your champion now. Punk cost McIntyre the match on Raw. So now it's Priest, Uso.
Ugh.
Yeah, right.
It's a stopgap. They gotta feed somebody to Damian.
They're not going to put that on a pay-per-view, though, are they?
That's what I said before. I don't think so. But if they do, like, I mean,
Jay's popular, and Jay just doesn't work well with Jimmy. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying?
Little Jimmy.
I want to see what the, like, is there going to be more of a story behind it than he's the number one contender?
No.
Like, I want to see what the if they do anything more with it.
He's main event Oos. It's his time.
Wasn't there a period where
you said period?
The Judgment Day was kind of aligning with the Bloodline, and like Paul Heyman was trying to like do that kind of thing together. So maybe they could parlay that into something.
Ooh, Damian Priest and Bloodline.
Oh, because the Raw before Mania wasn't there footage backstage of some promo, and then in the background.
Yeah,
it was a while ago, but yeah. Who was he talking to? Was he talking to Damian? Paul.
No, Paul Heyman was talking to Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought Kevin was on to something. I thought there was a little bit of this and that for a while where there was like a back and forth between Paul Heyman and maybe Rhea Ripley.
Right, but like, okay, Drew's talking to Paul. Paul is with the Bloodline. The Bloodline is with Judgment Day. And Damian Priest is going to go against Jey Uso, who is against the Bloodline. And Drew is now against Jey Uso. So you can kind of tie that all together, right?
If they treat, they can go any which direction. Or they, like, Kevin, the HK's chagrin, they could literally just go with the Jey Uso won the match, and he's the number one contender for this fill-in pay-per-view.
Look, Damian Priest needs somebody he's got to beat after he wins the title. You know what I'm saying? So, Jey Uso is not a terrible choice.
No. I'm just putting the Usos back together with Roman and Sami Zayn anyway, so.
According to Wikipedia, too, that will be the heavyweight championship match at Backlash.
Yep. No problem with that.
Cody against either LA Knight or AJ Styles, whoever wins that match.
I would think AJ's got to win, right? You don't want to feed LA Knight to Cody.
I agree.
It's AJ.
It's got to be.
Dude, and there's so much history between those two guys. So, like, they could tell a great job, and you could still keep LA Knight. That's what's so great about, like, what WWE is doing.
Yep.
Like, everyone's like, oh, LA Knight's got to win. LA Knight's got to win. LA Knight's got to win.
No, he doesn't.
Like, look what they did with Sami Zayn. Like, everyone wanted Sami Zayn to win the world title. He won the Intercontinental title. Well, like, I kind of criticized it, saying that it wasn't the WWE or the World Championship. It was still a huge moment, and it means just as much. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's what's so great about someone that can – look at sorry to jump ahead to SmackDown. Trinity came back, right? Naomi. And she was kind of like, oh, my God, what are they doing with her? She's losing every week. She just won a number one contenders match against arguably their hottest – female upcoming star in Tiffany Stratton. So now she's getting a title match against Bayley. So just because you're like booked to lose doesn't mean that you're dunzo magunzo.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's so great about what WWE is doing right now.
And there's so many great stories, and there's so many people that are on that precipice of being at the next level. So it's all good shit, man. It's all good shit.
Yeah, man. And it looks like they're bringing back Uncle Howdy. There was the static during a Bronson Reed promo Monday night, and then the song Nightbird played before the start of Raw tapings. So it seemed, and then Rowan is no longer honoring his independent commitments because something came up. So
he pulled out of all upcoming bookings because he had new contractual obligations. He was in.
I respect Tony for biting his tongue right there.
Oh,
what?
You know the the show he pulled out of was an ECPW show, right?
Okay.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah. They put out a press release and anything that they never, in how many ever years they existed, had somebody like pull out of an event.
Fuck off, Gio Caruso. Did you write it up? Did you fucking fax it to everybody from the fucking fax machine at Gene's Deli, too? Fucking hand job. You fucking shitbird.
I couldn't be happier for him. He's a super, super nice guy. I've been able to work a couple shows with him. And, yeah, he was in Pittsburgh where they do their medical evals. If it is, in fact, he's going back to WWE, hats off to him. I hope nothing but the best.
I just hope that they do this gimmick where it's entertaining and it's good and we don't get the fucking Mountain Dew matches and the fucking cockroaches crawling on the mat mattresses and the fucking Jack in the Box with Randy Orton matches. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to go out with this gimmick again, give us something fucking better. Give us something more interesting. And give us Alexa Bliss in those fucking outfits again. Oh,
oh boy.
Come on, bro. Love me some Alexa.
Let me ask you this. Has the curtain been pulled back so much where, like, you, like, have to have Bo Dallas be Bo Dallas and have Uncle Howdy be like the alternate gimmick, or do they just call him Taylor over time? Like, what they did, Taylor Wyatt? Like, what do they do?
No, I just hope he's
wrestling as Uncle Howdy.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
Or is it like Bray Wyatt and the Fiend? Is it like,
no,
I think Taylor Wyatt and
I think you got to start over, right? I think you got to do the Uncle Howdy. I keep saying Captain Howdy because I keep thinking of Twisted Sister. Come on, you know Captain Howdy.
Yes. I think. No, I'm kind of with Tony. Just let him be Uncle Howdy. God,
wrestling in that shit.
Yeah. Listen, it's a paycheck, right? It's going to move a lot of merch.
Tushin Thunder Liger wrestled in that shit. The dumb fucking horns and the stupid hair. He's fucking little Asian
man.
So
did Psychosis.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he went nuts in a fucking hotel in Australia.
That was even, dude.
I was going to say that's
whatever. Too. Same shit.
Yeah. No, not the same.
No, they're all the same, bro. Come on. It's not like I said El Dandy, let's be honest.
Who are you to disrespect El Dandy?
Besmirch the name.
Never doubted El Dandy. There was a meme going around. It was like a picture of Big E, and it said, like, so-and-so broke, like almost paralyzed, forgave so-and-so. And then it was like, Draws paralyzed, forgave D'Lo Brown. And it was like, all these people that had their necks broken, at the very bottom, it's Bret Hart. It says, fuck Goldberg.
I love it. He's not wrong.
No, he's not.
Oh, there it is. I got it.
Oh, cool. He found it.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
He really is, bro.
Thank
he's
you,
no longer with us, right? I think El Dandy's El Dunzo,
no,
isn't he?
That's Silver King.
Oh, that's right. Silver
but
King.
But to you,
dead.
I guess they're.
Yeah, well, you know.
Back here if you need
back
me.
Back here if you need me. Wow.
El Dandy's alive and kicking, buddy.
Who's he kicking?
Dandy's.
He looks like a cross between Tommy Rich and Chris Benoit in this picture in the LWO.
He did. He had the gear of like old school Japan Chris Benoit. Yeah. Like Midnight Express gear. El Dandy should have been in the Midnight Express.
Bro, I would not fuck with El Dandy. Holy shit.
With the stars and like.
As in, that's where they took the inspiration for Nacho Libre. That's Jack Black.
It's got to be. If it's not,
I'm
shocked.
Pretty positive it is. Yeah.
Dandy Libre.
El Dandy.
Oh, Andy.
Fucking El Dandy. So that was Raw in a nutshell tonight. You're getting Sammy and Chad and Andrade Dominic over on SmackDown. The Bloodline story continues as Solo Sikoa and the newly Tama Tonga take out Jimmy Uso, which doesn't look like Paul Heyman and maybe Roman Reigns knew anything about.
Nah, Solo's taking over, brother.
Pretty interesting shit there.
Yeah.
I thought this was done. The execution of this was great. I thought they put over who he was wonderfully on commentary. And I'm super duper happy to see Tama Tonga in WWE.
Yep. I'm glad he did get a reaction because, look, I shit on AEW all the time. They bring these people in and nobody fucking knows who they are. I'm always hesitant. I'm glad to hear that they knew who he was, but it also becomes a situation where it's like, how else do you introduce somebody into a family like this? It's not like you can run vignettes for them. You know what I'm saying? No. Like, it's like, what are you going to do? Like, Tama Tonga's coming in. Well, what's he going to do? He's going to join the bloodline. Now that the bloodline has kind of got this different, you know, fractured faction going, if you will, it kind of makes sense, but I'm always a little like, you know, new guy, who dis, you know?
And to me, it's also like, I'm very happy that they stuck with his name, Tama Tonga, but mm-hmm. I wonder if, like, sometimes WWE overestimates somebody that they're bringing in that people will know by that name. Don't get me wrong. They did a great job of explaining who he was, Haku's son, run rampant in Japan, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So, like, the crowd live got a reaction, had a reaction for him. But, like, I'm also wondering, like, I was wondering, are they going to change his name? And I wouldn't be upset if they did. Like, eventually, they probably couldn't do it that night. But, like, I'm wondering if they're going to do that. I don't think they will now because they've totally put over Tama Tonga. He got a reaction. It was so well done. Solo Sikoa, like, shined in this segment. Absolutely yeah. shined.
But I don't. Did they call him Tama Tonga?
Yes.
They just, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so you can't change his name then.
No, you can't do it now, no. But I was wondering what they were going to call him in that moment once he took the hood off. I was wondering, like, in the immediate what they were going to do. Gotcha. And I'm like, were they going to save it for, like, another week and make another name for him? But, like, what the crowd reacted huge for him, and the announcers put him over, like, gangbusters. So it was... It was literally the perfect debut, and not to be overshadowed by Solo. Solo, like I said, was the star of that segment, even with Tama Tonga's debut.
I was as soon as Solo had talked about consequences and kind of turned, you knew something was going to happen. Part of me was very much hoping it was going to be both Tonga and Fatu. I thought that would have been fantastic. Yeah, play it out, right? But. Yeah. Having him show up, I thought they did that beautifully. It very much in a lot of ways reminded me of Raw after Mania 50. Yep, exactly. Very, you know what I mean? Like, it was a similar way of doing the story, but not so close where people could just point right at it. They could still carry on the bloodline. I think Paul Heyman grabbing the phone and going, call Roman, and then Solo taking it, throwing it down, stomping it. Great. All of it was fantastic.
Dude, have you ever heard a reaction for Solo Sikoa, even WrestleMania against John Cena? Have you ever seen a reaction for Solo Sikoa like when he took that phone
right.
and just dropped it?
Yep.
He didn't have to punch anybody. He didn't have to hit anybody. He didn't have to do anything. All he had to do was grab the phone, which has been so instrumental in Paul Heyman's character for his entire fucking career. Yeah. And all they had to do was just take it, drop it, like, no, you're not calling Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. You're not doing that right now. And then it was very, Matt, it was very Godfather-esque. I love you. I love you. Like when fucking he had to kill Fredo in The Godfather. Like he had to kill his own brother. Like, that's what that was like. It had very much Godfather feels and very, like, again, I can't express how much it made Solo Sikoa.
It's little things. It's simple. It's a simple action that gets a huge reaction. And then Tongaloa saying, like, Tama Tonga saying, by orders of the tribal chief, like.
In the backstage segment.
Yeah, to, like, Heyman's dismay was, like, they have something great here. And if, you know, the Jacob Fatu signing is true, like, it's fucking great. Now, here's one thing I don't want to see. I don't think I want to see Jimmy go back to Jay.
I think I know why you're saying that, and I agree with you. But if we're going to lead up to something that I just happened to randomly scroll by on Facebook, if we're leading up to, like, a War Games, right, in Survivor Series, where it's Rock, Solo, Tama Tonga, Jacob Fatu versus Roman, Jimmy, Jay, Sami Zayn, and if they can get me there in a great way, then I'm here for that.
Okay. I'm not against that.
Yeah. I just don't know if that's what they're, who knows what they're going to do. So like that's what's so riveting about their product right now.
And then, well, we have 2 3-way dances on SmackDown. They did like a number one contenders elimination tournament. It was AJ, Owens, and Mysterio in a 3-way dance, and then Lashley, LA Knight, Santos Escobar. Obviously, we've talked about it tonight. AJ Styles and LA Knight moved on, and they will wrestle this Friday night to find out who goes to France to wrestle Cody Rhodes. I thought the AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio triple threat was fucking awesome.
Very well done.
That banger, stacked German suplex, like the AJ Styles clash with Mysterio on him onto Owens, like that was. I have you ever seen? I've never seen that before. I don't think.
No, someone on somebody's back.
So like he does a Styles clash.
Yeah, no, I've never seen that before ever.
Yeah,
it was well executed, and then we mentioned Naomi beat Tiffany Stratton. So we'll get that match at it's on SmackDown, Bayley and Naomi. And then there will be a SmackDown number one contenders match, the Profits against Dunn and Bate, against Angel and Umberto, against the Authors of Pain in a 4-way dance.
The AOP.
So Raw and SmackDown are definitely like appointment viewing.
Dude, I can't remember the last time I would literally like refresh USANetwork.com. Like refresh foxsports.com to like watch the shows. Like that's how bonkers it is. Like I'm literally on the edge of my seat waiting to watch these wrestling shows.
Do you not have a DVR?
I do not have a DVR.
Don't trust your DVR.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't have one. Gotcha.
I'm old school, man.
Tony, stop with the fucking dog sound bites. You fucking
what are you talking about?
Are you trying to like Uncle Howdy him? Like are these like Easter eggs?
Tony, you don't seem into the WWE talk.
No, I am.
Did you see that Mick Foley called off his final match?
Thank God.
Well, why did you say thank God?
Cripple Mick Foley fucking dying in the ring against somebody? Nope.
I mean, that's why he called it off.
Right.
Well, it was smart. Yeah, because he's fucking like almost passing out as he just walks.
But if you didn't hear about his concussion issues, would you not want to see one more Mick Foley?
No!
Match?
Mick Foley's in terrible shape. I don't want to see him getting fucking hurt.
He's losing weight, bud.
Nah.
Him versus Broski, you wouldn't want to see that?
Nope. Nope.
HK? No? No interest?
No. I would like to see, like I've always loved Foley, and I'm still kind of the opinion with certain guys, like if they want to, let them go. You know what I mean, if they're medically okay to do so and they want to and they want to have a last hurrah away, man, go for it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need to. And to Tony's point, I mean, Mick Foley's never really been in great shape, so that's that argument's kind of mute. I mean, that's
well, I think it's a tip of a cap though, because he was getting into shape. Like I thought, I saw like he was already down like 30 pounds since he started this journey, but when he found out like he was getting concussions and not knowing he had concussions, like he did like a very unlike wrestler thing and he decided not to keep going.
Oh. I mean, his entire career fucking getting bashed in the head after the shit with The Rock and he didn't fucking know where he was. It's like, come on, man. You're Mick fucking Foley. You don't need to do this shit.
I'm sorry. Brendan, are you making this up? Onita challenged 83-year-old Dory Funk Jr. for this year.
All right, that I want to see.
No.
Dory Funk with less than a quarter of charisma that Mick Foley ever had.
I want to see his wife yelling from ringside.
I don't want to see. What was that fucking NWA show where he was at the fucking on the, yep. the with the fucking whip?
NWA 70 when Cody wrestled Nick Aldis.
They were like, Dory Funk Jr. is ringside with the fucking whip, and he's just fucking. God,
I didn't want to see Dory Funk Jr. in Royal Rumble 1995.
I don't want to see Dory Funk Jr. as part as Hoss Funk.
Is that him?
Apparently, Brendan said he's running the stadium for King of the Death match again.
Wonderful.
And apparently, Scott George says Papa H got new tag belts.
I'm looking for real right now.
Ooh, Tony, let's go. Find them. Tony.
I'm on it.
I need to see belts.
No more big period penny belts?
No, those belts are the worst.
While we look for the belts, anything from NXT you guys want? I know HK and KJG, you guys watch NXT, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just...
No, it's for some reason, NXT always skips my radar.
That's fine.
I got the new belts.
Oh, I'm very impressed by this guy, though, because I did check this guy out because he was very impressive, and a lot of people were talking about him on social media. Javon Evans.
Ah, yes, that's the kid that the podcaster said he looked like a slave.
Oh.
Stop with the fucking dog sounds, you dickhead. You didn't see it, mate. So this Javon kid debuted on NXT, and he was super impressive, and I think he had a vignette at Stand and Deliver. And then he's doing like a promo, and some fucking dorky podcaster whose name I don't know and I'm not gonna say and I'm not gonna look it up, like, kept playing it over, and then like he's like, he looks away and he's like, oh, he looks like he's being called like he's a slave, and I'm like, people fucking eviscerate, like, what are you doing, dude? Like, stop being a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, no, I got you.
You know, we put in fucking hard work for this fucking podcast. We do these crazy interviews. We're trying to get fucking likes and views, and it's a fucking struggle. But this piece of shit is out there being racist, and everyone is fucking watching his shit. I won't go that route, people.
No.
But you gotta fucking...
We've tried.
Tune in.
No.
Well, he didn't back try on purpose. A long time ago. Different era. Yeah, but
different show.
Yeah, let's see these new bad boys.
This is...
I'm digging them.
I'll tell you what, it's better than the pieces of shit that they have right now.
They look like the world title.
Yep. That's what they're all going to look like, though.
No. They'll probably match up the SmackDown ones with, like, maybe the logo belts.
But that's... They're,
I like them.
Yeah, TKO and UFC, like every UFC title looks the same, and they're doing that in the WWF.
Yeah, but they're doing them like Raw, SmackDown, aren't they?
Yes, like, but they're not. They're all, the tag titles look exactly like that, but in blue.
You think?
No, yes. Those look like the WWE Championship, but in blue.
That's what I was saying. I agree with KJG on that. They're going to be like some sort of W in the middle, like with the shit on, you know.
Hey, Tony, did you hear that? Like, apparently, like, Roman took the actual belt, and Cody was walking out with a replica.
No, was that true?
Yeah, in night one, Roman like kept the belt, and Cody was using a replica.
Cody's belt did have snaps. The one that Roman was using had Velcro. Yeah, so,
and you could tell like the strap was so much stiffer when he came out for his Raw promo.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's just because Roman just wanted to keep the belt for himself.
It's possible.
Which is
it's
fine. Possible. No issue there.
For sure.
Or if they're actually going to develop.
Well, Cody has been. Cody's been talking about making a new belt. So.
Please.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Matt. Here's what I think they're going to do. They're going to make a winged eagle belt, but it'll just be the shape of the winged eagle with a giant W in it. Like, that's what I think they're going to do.
Yeah,
if they do it.
They gussy it up a little bit. Listen, when Cody brought back the IC title, it was a different looking design at first until Dave Milliken got pissed at fucking J-Mar and said, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
And nobody but you would notice that, though.
Oh, yeah. No, they noticed it.
It was flatter. It was lighter. It was skinnier.
It had gold nuggets like behind like the yeah. It was a bit
nuggets right here.
Fuck, yeah.
Scott George, R-Truth thinks Papa H is Tommaso Ciampa.
I love it.
I guess, look, man, if anyone can get the winged eagle back, it's Cody, and he is like a wrestling nerd, so I don't think he would. I think he would fight for it to be proper.
Yeah.
I hope so.
KJG, just so you know, there's footage out there somewhere of Rhea Ripley. I think it was at one of the press conferences for WrestleMania. She was singing Cody Rhodes' theme, and she goes, oh, my God, it's Cody Rhodes. Really made me think of you, bro. It was hysterical. Hole.
Oh, my God, it's Cody Rhodes. The curtain lights go up from home.
God, I'll never get over the video on YouTube of John Cena singing Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, walking around the locker room.
Yeah.
Whoa, it's only smoke and mirrors. Whoa. There goes Cody Rhodes.
That's right.
Here, I can pull this up. Hold on. Party. Let me see if I can share this. Hold on.
I hate your guts, you that's fucking wrong. Piece of
that's
shit,
a shoot. That's a shoot, brother.
Let me see.
But I love balls.
Oh, of course you do.
That's a shoot. He's shooting at me.
Here, let me
see. Tony doesn't see shit either. You're fine.
Let me see this. Hold on.
Oh my God, it's Cody Rhodes.
All right, I'll just repeat it. That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
I thought it was.
There's two pay-per-views this weekend, guys.
Oh, no, the hell you say?
The hell I say there is. TNA Rebellion takes place Saturday evening. Pre-show starts at 7 o'clock on YouTube. Great. And then you can order the pay-per-view through your cable local provider. Here's the card. This is what we're picking, bitches.
Yes.
The countdown to Rebellion will see Ace Austin, Chris Bay, and Leon Slater take on Trey Miguel, Zachary Wentz, and Myron Reed. Also on the countdown to Rebellion, the Knockouts champions, Danny Luna and Jody Threat take on Havoc and Rosemary.
Again?
Rose Again. And Murray?
Rosemary.
Oh, Rose Murray.
Rose Murray.
Oh, Murray. How's she?
Murray, yeah.
last man standing match, Josh Alexander versus Alex Hammerstone.
Hammerstone.
Full Metal Mayhem, Eric Young, Frankie Kazarian. Yeah. Tag titles, Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers. The champions defend against Mike Bailey and Trent Seven. X Division match, Bailey. Mustafa Ali against Jake Something.
Hey, it's Mustafa.
TNA Knockouts champion Jordan Grace against Steph DeLander. And your main event is Moose against the IWGP International Champion Nick Nemeth.
Love it. Here for it.
Will there be any zombies?
Hey.
No.
Hey, this is Moose.
No zombies.
Hey.
No zombies.
He looks like he's shitting, Vince.
Found that one. I forgot that one.
Nice. So that is taking place. I have not watched TNA in a minute, so I would love to tell you that.
I can tell you.
What I know what's going on, but I'm sure it'll be a great show. The card is stacked.
Yeah, man. They definitely they had a contract signing on this past Impact with Steph DeLander and Jordan Grace. Broski was there. Actually hit Jordan Grace with a little forearm action. And rude.
He's hitting Steph DeLander, women?
Evidently. Steph DeLander put it through a table at the contract signings. So you got that going on. You got the system, which is Moose, Eddie Edwards, and dear good close personal friend, Brian Myers, taking out who the fuck was it? Who did a Moose wrestle?
Moose.
Hey, this is Moose. But anyway. Motor City Machine Guns came out to make the save, and now you're going to get Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards versus Motor City Machine Guns next week. There you go.
Moose wrestled Trent Seven.
Hey. Yeah,
to set up the match, and then Speedball came out afterwards and kicked Brian Myers right in the fucking face until he got beat up. Ugh, then Motor City Machine Guns made the save.
Fucking gorilla feet that he's got.
In addition to Rebellion on Saturday, we have AEW Dynasty on Sunday.
Dinosaur.
Is the
guy that dances like this going to be there?
Prince Nana?
No, the other guy, the white dude. The fucking guy that... No, the guy that dances like this. That's it.
Oh,
that's
Daniel it. Garcia?
Yes, there you go. Oh, Hispanic dude, whatever. My bad.
Here's the card. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe take on the House of Black.
Blech.
Brian Danielson, Will Ospreay. AEW Continental Champion Okada defends against Pac. AEW International Champion Roderick Strong defends against Kyle O'Reilly. A ladder match for the AEW tag titles. The Young Bucks take on FTR. Winner becomes tag champions.
Ooh.
Julia Hart defends her TBS championship against Willow.
Willow.
The AEW Women's World Championship is on the line as Tony Storm defends against Thunder Rosa, and your world champion Samoa Joe defends against Swerve.
I hope Thunder Rosa murders Tony Storm. I really do.
Thunder Rosa.
Yep.
Just hope she murders her face.
Yeah. Face murderer.
Yes.
And AEW was kind enough to release the pay-per-view schedule for the rest of 2024.
Oh, I thought you were going to say more wrestlers.
Dude, cold. That's cold.
I don't know.
Stone Cold Killer, T-Donk. So May 26th, Double or Nothing. June 30th, Forbidden Door in Long Island. August 25th.
Forbidden Door's in Long Island now.
Yeah. August 25th, All in London. September 1st, All Out. October 12th, Wrestle Dream. Full Gear back in Newark, November 23rd. And December 28th, World's End in Florida.
Well, if the world was going to end anywhere, I would imagine it would be in Florida.
Did they say what the venues were?
Yes.
That's the interesting part. That's the interesting part to me.
Well, the one in Newark will be a Prudential Center.
I know.
I don't think they'd be able to sell at the Hart Ballroom at this
point.
No, and I'm pretty sure XPW is exclusive.
Well, they might have a lock on the building.
Do you see the clip that was going around of Mickey Knuckles and the girl that didn't want to work with her? That apparently was from XPW.
Shocker.
That was Cat Martini.
Didn't want to work with, so why did she wrestle her? Like,
no, there's, I don't know if she got hurt or something. You haven't seen the video?
Nope.
Hats with Kevin.
Yeah, I'm
pull on. It up. Double or Nothing's at
pulling it out.
Double or Nothing's at the MGM Grand. Forbidden Door is at the UBS Arena where the Islanders play. All in's Wembley. All Out is at the Now Arena. Wrestle Dream is in the Tacoma Dome. Full Gear is at The Rock here in Newark. And World's End is at the Addition Financial Arena in Orlando.
Orlando.
So there's that.
I'm assuming that's where the Magic play.
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question. Let me look.
It's gotta be, right? If there's something.
Where do the Orlando? Look at this. It hurt.
Another playoff team.
They play at the Kia Center.
Ooh.
Also, this might be like just a strictly concert venue type deal.
Let's see. Can I Google it?
Because they don't have a hockey team.
I don't think they don't sell out the Prudential Center, right? I mean, a lot of the fans of AEW are, you know, East Coast fans. No,
they'll sell it out.
Yeah. And then they'll tell, at like, this point, 16,000.
At this point, I don't know, man.
No.
Especially, how long in between are they running Long Island and Jersey?
Long Island is in June, and Jersey's in November.
That's enough time, I guess.
The Addition Financial Arena is located in the University of Central Florida. It's where the UCF Knights women basketball team plays.
What's the capacity? 4,000?
Capacity is, according to Wikipedia, for MMA boxing, 10,000.
Okay.
Oh, it's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Smart.
I'm like the blobfish.
All right, blobfish. Let's see it. Let's see Mickey Knuckles.
You got it.
Was she wearing pants?
Does that offend you?
What the fuck? Really? Really? She's checking her oil? Bro, why didn't she just fucking get up and leave?
I don't know. Maybe she's
this woman trained? Like, is this? Oh, she sandbagged her there, bro. She's fucking, dude. Did she tell her she's hurt?
I don't know.
Is this the Hart Ballroom? It looks different.
No, this is the Orlando.
Bro, Mickey Knuckles looks like a fucking butcher from a horror movie. What the fuck is she wearing? And this poor girl, she seems like, you know, maybe she don't want to get her oil checked by this fucking beast.
So wait, what's the?
Bro, can I ask a question? What's with people wearing sneakers all the time now for wrestling?
I fucking hate that so much.
Can people buy boots?
Yeah.
You know who's a big culprit of that? Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, and the Usos too. There's a lot of them.
Unless they're like specifically designed.
No, keep showing that. I want to see this again. Said fucking load.
That's not very nice, Tony.
She's a fucking load.
And who was the woman that she wrestled? Kat Dennings?
Kat Martini, I believe.
What? Kat Martini seems like she's been around. Oh, it's Rob Black's wife. Are you serious? Yeah, she's not a wrestler.
I just went to their web. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. I just went to their website.
Oh, she's the Fight TV champion. Go ahead.
And it's got It's got the pay-per-view's finished, but you could buy it for $20. But the last of the chat is open.
Ooh, read, please.
Oh boy. Oh no.
Let's see. We have to call Rob Black to get our money back and complain. Fuck that. I love coming with you, but that was bad. Jersey is a shithole.
Was this the Heart Ballroom?
This is bullshit. Fuck this man. I think the next show is at.
This ended the evening? This was the main event?
No, that was not.
But were they calling bullshit over the whole show or over this
match? I think
match?
There's a new champion was crowned.
Ugh.
So I think they were unhappy with that. Does not have the next show up here.
Huh, maybe they're Dunzo Magunzo.
Enjoy everything extreme. Subscribe now. What do you think the monthly subscription? You get Classic XPW TV, Classic XPW pay-per-view, The Girls of XPW, in parentheses, NSFW.
Ooh, Scissor Me Xerxes?
Best of, new pay-per-view events added 30 days after the original, Theater of Brutality, and the Live Rob Black Show. What are you getting?
$50
in the month?
A month. How much?
$50 a month.
That's what I'm
is that what it is?
No, that's what I guessed.
No. Was it 10?
$9.95 a month, sir.
Wow. So that or Honor Club Double T?
Oh, Honor Club, no doubt.
I don't want this shit. What is this crap?
Really? I could say the same thing about Ring of Honor.
Let me ask you this, the classic XPW stuff, is that like from back in the day? Like,
oh yeah.
First of all, you can't put
when Messiah still had his thumb.
You can't put classic and XPW in the same fucking.
Oh, song. You can.
No, you cannot.
I'm quoting you. You said it.
I read it off the thing. I didn't agree to it though. Let's see. Let's go.
Hey, Steve Mack in the chat.
Yeah.
Hello, Steven. He's the best. Monster Mac is the man.
Love him.
All right. This was the debut XPW show. July 31st, 1999.
31st? It's a bad day for us all right now.
Was it a celebrate?
I said the motor shitty machine guns.
It was only four matches. I hate you. Sybil defeats Homeless Jimmy.
Of course. Well, Homeless Jimmy's on the show.
CM Punk was on the show. Phenomenal Phil defeated Johnny Webb. Kristen Blood defeated Supreme.
Of course he did.
And Big Dick Dudley versus Damian Steele. She had Damian Steele had Basil and Nicole Bass in his corner. No contest.
Damian Steele and Big Dick Dudley? Wait, and this is 99?
Yes.
Oof.
Didn't Luke Hawks start in XPW?
Yeah, he was Alter Boy Luke, wasn't he?
Alter Boy Luke, yes.
Yep.
What do you think an XPW house show look like?
I don't know.
Fucking house shows.
50 people?
Yeah, we'll have to keep our eyes peeled.
Oh, please.
All right, it looks like the next time they are in Newark, June 23rd, XPW, Look What You Made Me Do.
At the Heart Ballroom.
Yes. At the Heart Ballroom.
Who's on the show? We got a card yet?
Well, they don't have the card announced yet. It's in June. They got
because they got to figure out what they're going to do with that Fight TV championship. Kat Dennings can't defend it now.
Big build, Tony. Big build to the next event. We're just out of Baptized in Blood 4.
I thought you said Big Bill at the next event. Times are tough in AEW. Hey, whatever happened to Ethan Page? Is he still around?
He's in Ring of Honor.
Oh, all right.
So, nope.
Well, it's a shame, man. Look, we got Steve Mack in the chat. Ring of Honor meant something back in those days, right?
Yes. That's right. Even if it was run by a petter ass for the first couple of years.
Well, I mean, then Gabe took over, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Kerry Silken, fucking the maniac that he is, ran it for a while.
Well, you know, Rob weaseled his way back in there.
Well, I mean, I heard didn't he weasel his way into the front row of WrestleMania? Was that what I heard?
Finkelstein?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Frusenhagen.
I want to wrap up with New Japan. Oh, you know what? Maybe we talk a little Dark Side too. Not too much longer though. Just a couple things. If you haven't seen Windy City Riot, the Jack Perry entrance is awesome. The heat in Chicago, it's fucking awesome. I know everybody hates the kid.
He's a fucking jungle man.
It's great. And then him and Kenta afterwards taking the picture with the middle fingers. Fuck Chicago. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, of course it is.
Zack Sabre Jr. beat Matt Riddle for the NJPW World Championship. So Zach is the two-time champion. Matt Riddle essentially no-sold losing, and then kind of like high-five people and danced out of the ring. So
He Austin Aries the shit.
Yeah, you know, so
fucking hand job.
Who fucking in other news? Water is wet. I don't know why fucking New Japan signed fucking Matt Riddle.
You think we get Matt Riddle on the show?
He might still follow us. He might still follow us on Twitter. I'll tell you right now,
bro.
Is he Super King of Bros?
Super King.
Yeah, he follows us. Fuck, he still follows us.
You know who is in the back is Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see what he's up to. Mustafa Ali beat Hiromu. TMDK won the strong openweight tag titles in a four-way. And then John Moxley beat Naito to become the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
John Moxley. Oh. Yeah, fuck that guy.
I fucking hate this.
Yep.
I know why they're doing it. Because
they want a bald plumber to be their world champion?
No, I think they want Shota Umino to be the guy to beat him. And he's one of their young studs. I just don't think Shota is ready, and I really think.
What happened to Yota Tsuji? Why not him? Didn't he win the tournament?
He lost to Naito.
Well, so give him another shot.
Genesis. Ren Narita's the first one to fucking challenge Moxley. You know, I get it. I'm just not. I don't know, man. Like, Nick Nemeth was on the show. He didn't defend the title, though.
He was busy fighting zombies.
He was the IWGP Global Champion, and he wrestled Big Tom Ishii, and he beat him, but it was a non-title match. What the fuck is the point of putting the title on him if he's not going to defend it? He's not
Eliminator matches, dude.
Was it an eliminator?
It's just frustrating. It's all frustrating with New Japan and their booking. Then too fucking many Tanahashi belts. Put the fucking... The never openweight tag title, the six man back on him.
I thought they had a tournament.
They did. Him, Toriano, and Oleg Bolton won them.
Michael Bolton won the titles?
Oleg.
Time, love, and tenderness.
Bolton, Oleg.
Should have sung that at Hogan's Hangout.
Bolton, Oleg.
Oleg, my leg.
Best of the Super Juniors is right around the corner.
Oleg, Oleg, Oleg,
I was waiting for that.
Bolt.
Oleg.
Bolt and Oleg. Best of the Super Juniors are right around the corner. Dominion will be here in June, so I'm just kind of like... Zack Sabre. I thought Zack Naito was like a story they could do because they have a history, and I thought Zack was ready for the championship. But I guess the Matt Riddle experiment fucked up. So
Matt, let me ask you this real quick: is this like kind of like, you know how like WWE kept like spouting that this is a new era, this is a new regime, this is new? Do you think that's like worked the exact opposite way in New Japan? Like,
look, they. You know, last summer they came out with this is the new Three Musketeers. It's Shota, it's Ren Narita, it's Tsuji, Fujita's back. You know, and then they made Tanahashi president, and I don't think they thought Okada was going to leave.
Right. So what is your biggest gripe? Are you like mad that Moxley as a wrestler like won it? Like, because he's clearly deserving of a world championship, right?
No, my problem is that they're putting these titles on guys who aren't working New Japan shows.
Oh, that's a fair point.
Right, like Nick Nemeth won. I don't know why he beat David Finlay. He hasn't been back to Japan since. He hasn't defended the title at Impact. He hasn't defended the title at the New Japan show in the States. So what the fuck's the point of him having the title?
Is he hurt?
Right.
Oh, no, he wrestled. No.
He wrestled.
Yeah.
You put the title on Matt Riddle, and look, I don't like it. He's a fucking shitty dude. To his credit, Matt Riddle defended the title in MLW, though.
Yeah, it's weird that why they didn't do that.
So it's just, there's a lot of just questionable things. And then the House of Torture stuff is unfucking bearable. It's unbearable. I can't get through a House of Torture match without wanting to smash. If there was like a smashable item that had zero connection to me in front of me during a, like if there was like an old like window from a garage that I just like happened to find on the street and I could smash it into a zillion pieces in my living room during a House of Torture match, I would.
Well, so, isn't Jamie good at finding things? Like you find you those VCRs?
Yeah, but I can't be smashing things.
Maybe
up
you can be like
room.
Maybe you can be your smash junk guy.
Imagine how like beneficial it would be, mutually beneficial, if, because we talked about TNA Rebellion, Nemeth, Moose, right? Imagine if it was for both belts.
No,
like how beneficial would that be for both New Japan?
It wouldn't be beneficial at all.
It wouldn't be beneficial.
Do you remember when Jay White showed up in New Japan or in Impact and he confronted Kenny Omega and that went nowhere?
But I'm saying it'll give him a defense of the belt is what I'm trying to get to your
guess,
point about how he doesn't.
Yeah, but if he loses it to fucking Moose, then it's fucking, what's the point?
Hey.
But I mean, they've done that before, AEW and TNA and.
Just stop. I know everybody wants to work together, but you gotta figure it out, man. Stop.
Okay. Listen, you answered the question. I just threw it out there.
It's driving me fucking nuts.
Arr, driving me nuts.
It really is. And Mike, I hate you. I hate Mike Peterson. I hate Mike Peterson.
You know, I would defend him, but I think he shit on me earlier tonight. So sorry, Mike.
House of Torture is the greatest faction of all time.
We can agree on that.
It's coming from, just take it. Listen, people, he's from fucking Boston. Okay, so that's all you need to know.
That's right.
Mike Peterson from Boston.
Right? He's like a fucking watermelon head. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Jesus Christ, dude.
No, Jesus Christ. The House of Torture is the fucking worst thing in wrestling. Dick to go sucks. Hope he chokes on his own Garrett.
Garrett.
Yeah, he uses the
Wade Garrett.
Oh,
Did you guys watch the Dark Side?
Yes, it's the only one I really had any interest in after I watched Earthquake, and kind of that's it.
Dude, it was really good.
Yeah, I kind of knew about Chris Colt going into
Did
this.
Did you really?
Yeah, I when I used to listen to the Super Podcast. They did a whole this and that a few years ago about Chris Colt and what a fucking maniac psycho he was. And they almost left his fucking tag team partners, almost left him for dead on the fucking side of the road.
You can't just start fucking punching people while they're driving.
Well, you can if you're fucked up on something. Doesn't make it right.
Lucky that kid didn't run him over with his car.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris Colt was something else.
I was not, like, I made time to watch this. Because you were so high on it, Double T, I was not as impressed.
Really?
It's just because he was a fucking maniac. That's all it was.
That's all it was.
No, yeah. I think it was like him being like gay in that time era and being in the professional wrestling business was super
Pat
interesting.
Patterson
and
he did that years before. Come on now.
Yeah, but Pat Patterson wasn't fucking Chris Colt.
Well, and the way that whoever that motherfucker was, that was his director for his adult films and
that guy's a fucking Looney Tune too.
Compared him to Marilyn Monroe? Are you out of your fucking mind?
He was an artiste.
Real artistic.
I wonder if he had a hog.
I did laugh really hard at some of those porn vignettes though that they were shooting. That was
Oh my god, where he's like, I'm gonna beat you and I'm gonna fuck you.
Then I'm
sure his
you.
I mean his what his niece, she found the videos online. I'm sure you could fucking find them.
Well, I really haven't spent time looking. There's other things I'm more interested in, watching Chris Colt get railed in the ass. But you know,
I think he's the one.
Hey,
whoever. I think
whoever's clipping tonight, clip it.
I think they were just one man shows.
No,
he did some other shit. That's how he wound up with the AIDS, right?
I think he had the AIDS from the drugs.
Well, maybe column A, column B.
I don't know. I thought it was fucking the best Dark Side of the Ring they've done this season.
Yeah, probably.
I didn't know a lot about Chris Colt, and then like this dude is super creative, but also super self-destructive.
Yep.
And he's gay in a business that kind of doesn't accept gay people at the time.
Yeah, but who was it? His producer was like, the whole wrestling business is gay. I mean, it is what it is. Men wrestling around with each other in their underwear. Kind of put it in perspective.
Oh, the guy that compared Chris Colt to Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, handsome Kevin, we got to take what we're given here, you know?
I said,
put it in perspective, too, you know? Column A, column B.
And if, you know, if he wasn't so fucking self-destructive, he probably would have been like a household name.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but he definitely would have made a name for himself in that area. More of a name for himself anyway.
Brendan just sent us a text screenshot. He just put in Chris Culp porn, and there's like 100 results. He goes, I'm not clicking it. Easy to find.
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead. Click it, Brendan.
Well, if anyone's, interested in going to Man Surfer, apparently they have 9 free videos.
I don't know.
Mansurfer.com. That will not be. There's a lot of things in my search history. Mansurfer.com will not be one of them.
I think they used to be a sponsor of ours, right?
Well, Brendan, if you're interested, click on it and tell me how you make out.
Bend over. Let's have fun.
Oh, he's also on Boyfriend TV.
Moon stemmed for fucking March. Toot, toot.
What if everybody has a moon stemmed
for Chris Cole? At mansurfer.com.
Good God.
Well, see you later.
Oh, handsome Kevin, 45 free videos. You want to tell us something?
Do not get off.
Somebody's sucking my dick.
Fuck you. Oh, don't you start with that, Tony.
That's an underrated funny drop.
Dropping a grumper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How do you like that, Stinky T?
My nuts.
What have you ever been in that fucking position before?
I'm going to come on you like nobody's ever come on you before.
I didn't want that one, but it fits.
All right, you want Kevin outraged tonight? You got it right now.
I'm coming.
I get triggered sometimes. The dueling piano bar.
I love cocks.
He's the best.
I will call to the cock master Jimmy Fart.
Well, good. Fuck him. He deserved it.
You will suck my meat. You will drop to your knees and you will say, please me, Mr. Hogan.
True. Shut up, dick.
I will double fist you with both fists and you will scream to the heavens.
I've never shit on a wall in my life. This show is not worth a fist.
I'm gonna get to touch your body.
It's fucking rip roaring, rootin' tootin' time.
My kids turn me on.
This idiot doesn't know how to speak the fucking English language. The old knob gobbler.
I'm coming hard.
This is called a bitch.
Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't fucking shake your fucking head at me.
I am sick and tired of playing around with kids.
You fucking dork.
Oh my god.
Mamacita.
Wow. I am the cat comer.
Meow.
Your fucking idol is Larry Zbysko?
Oh, all right, are we done? Use the cage. Isolate that, Eric Fried, you fucking freak.
Yo, homeboy! Welcome to the hood, brother!
We called him Uncle Closies. Couldn't stand it. Sick of them. Hate them all. This was your stupid idea, you moron. Y'all stink. Out of doo-doo.
Holy shit. Oh, God.
Oh, you...
No, that was a stupid question.
Oh, shit.
In your face! I'm crying.
With content like this, how can I refuse? No, you dumb piece of shit.
God, that was disgusting.
It's all right, you'll find him one day.
Bitch, do you know what a diner is?
My God. All right, well, this has been a hoot.
Fuck yeah, dude. A hoot and holler.
Oh, man, we talked a lot tonight. We talked about Gumby's family. We covered that in detail. AEW, CM Punk, Jack Perry situation, the Ospreay stuff, AEW news and notes, Mandy Rose and her cucumber collection, Raw, SmackDown, Rebellion, and Dynasty previews, a little Mick Foley last match, New Japan, Dark Side of the Ring.
XPW! XPW!
Dub.
Fucking old cottage
cheese. The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Next week we're back. Handjob Kyle joins us and Misa Kate. If you tuned in for Misa
Maybe.
Kate, I should have told you 2.5 hours ago. She had to cancel. So sucks to be you if you watched all 2.5 hours of this or listened. She's not here till next week. So we got you for another week, suckers.
Yeah, so eat a shit.
Yeah, eat a shit.
A lot of doo doo.
Yeah, we're good. We do this.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network.
Shit.
Your executive producers are Manny Kratzo and main event Mike Peterson. Our producers are Danny Russoniello, Kate Hensler, Matt Garifo, High Five, Tom, Ryan Schlong, Brendan Haney, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, William Mercier Jr., Michael Hammond, David Henry Bauer III, and Keith Parker. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
Oh, shit. My bad. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry.